intern, Joe.
Yeah, who's going to help us get podcasting going. So thanks for giving us this Thursday. Tomorrow we have Forest Ethics coming to talk about what's going on with some clear cutting and about the protest that's happening next week or sometime very soon. And so listen in, Forest Ethics, tomorrow. Please stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News. You sent I.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes.
It's like we've been on this roller coaster of emotion. It's like, thank God, but I didn't want to be the only house standing on the neighborhood. I don't think I could live with that.
That's Julie Michaels, safely back home in Running Springs near San Diego. Hundreds and hundreds of other people won't be so fortunate. KNX's Vita Sophronicus at Lake Arrowhead.
The fire has come right up to the roadway in a wide variety of areas. The wind is rather calm. There's not much wind, and that's the good news. The bad news is they still have no perimeter around this. There's no containment on this fire. Wide open and very dangerous.
I'm Peter Mayer in San Diego. After touring part of this wide disaster zone, President Bush brushed aside comparisons between the botched federal response to Hurricane Katrina and the California wildfires.
I'm thinking about people whose lives turned upside down. The experts can try to figure out whether the response was perfect or not.
But Mr. Bush was determined to put that response on display here as he was accompanied on the ground and in the air by a crowd of disaster relief officials and military officers. While the president dodged comparisons, his Homeland Security advisor said the response is better and faster than the federal reaction to Katrina.
The wildfire damage total estimates range in the $2 billion-plus range so far. CBS's John Blackstone.
Right now, insurance companies have set up service centers. They have adjusters on the ground going out to help people. They are beginning to write checks for initial living expenses, things like that.
The only fires fully contained are near Los Angeles. The rest still burn. The process of finding compromise on the health insurance program for poor children continues.
On this vote, the yeas are 265. The
but
nays are
it's happening slowly.
Democrats didn't pick up any more Republican votes, with changes they said answered some of their complaints, including an income cap for eligibility of families and tougher language barring illegal immigrants from getting health care. But with strong public support for the bill, Democrats say this keeps the pressure on. And even if this version ends up getting vetoed like the last one, they'll eventually find a way to expand the children's health care program.
CBS's Bob Fuss is on Capitol Hill. President Bush has said he is for an expansion, just not as huge as the Democrats want. Wall Street, the Dow lost just 3 points today. NASDAQ off nearly 24. The S&P down 1. Oil prices set a new record, $90.46 a barrel, up $3.36. What's it mean? Oil analyst Peter Butel.
We're going to see higher gasoline prices almost immediately, probably 10, 15, or 20 cents, depending on how much you have already seen. And we're going to be paying more for heating oil this coming winter than we've ever paid before.
Loyola University has announced a success story for women's health, and you don't take any drugs. The Pelvic Wellness Program, an exercise program. 11 weeks of special exercises. Women controlled their bladders better, had better, stronger orgasms, and therefore, they say, a generally improved sense of well-being. This is CBS News.
You've reached Pearson Incorporated. For Matt Pearson Sales, press 1. For Matt Pearson Accounting, press 1. For Matt Pearson Human Resources, press 1.
At Aflac, we know things are different in small companies. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. With Aflac SB, your small business can have the same Aflac products and service the big guys get. At no direct cost to you.
For Matt Pearson, in a state of exhaustion, press 1.
To learn more, call 800-99-AFLAC or visit aflacsb.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
I'm thinking of a number between 450 and 850. Know what it is? It's my credit score, and it happens to be 720. Do you know your credit score? Do you know what's in your credit report? You can find out right now at freecreditreport.com. How much easier could it get? Log on to freecreditreport.com. It's fast, free, and easy. That's freecreditreport.com. Offer applies with enrollment and Triple Advantage.
Schools get the word out, whatever the word is, with automated phone calls these days. We saw a lot of that in San Diego this week.
Schools have sent out over 700,000 text messages, but officials believe even more in the power of...
Hello, San Diego Unified.
...recorded voice messages. This from the superintendent in San Diego. Over 4 million automated phone calls were made this week.
In California, 1 in 2 students are already on the system.
Robin Richards, head of NTI, hired by schools to set up notification systems, not only for emergencies, sometimes just to remind parents there's a school play or a big game. Dan Revive, CBS News.
Hats off for the parrot. In Muncie, Indiana, Shannon Conwell says he and his 9-year-old son fell asleep watching a movie. Their pet Amazon parrot woke him up about 3 in the morning making sounds like a fire alarm, screaming his head off, as Conwell put it. Turns out there was a fire, which destroyed the dining room, the kitchen, and the bedroom. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Get in the zone. AutoZone. Don't let your severe driving punish your car's engine. Get to AutoZone now. Severe drivers are those of us who deal with extreme temperatures, drive in stop-and-go traffic, and make frequent short trips. So severe drivers need to change their oil every 3,000 miles. Now at AutoZone, get 5 quarts of Castrol GTX and a Bosch oil filter for just $13.99. Some restrictions apply. See store for details. Protect your engine. Get to AutoZone.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
What's the worst thing about buying a used car? Could it be the uncertainty of not knowing what you're really getting? Bingo. Now I have an answer. Honda Certified Used Cars. They're well-maintained late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then is backed with a 7-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty from the original in-service date and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. Did the comfort level just go up in here? Hey, it may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for limited warranty details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Help yourself to the bar. And if you want something from the mini bar, don't worry, it's all paid for. We like to make this as painless as possible because the world deals us a whole lot of hurt every day. Up first on the program today, Faz Shakir will join us from the Progress Report at the Center for American Progress. We'll talk wildfires and the latest Republican actions of an allegedly Democratic senator from California. Later this hour, Dean Jeffrey Stone from the law school at the University of Chicago will join us. His new book is about freedom of the press. It's called Top Secret, When Our Government Keeps Us in the Dark. And we'll get his thoughts on the new National Reporter Shield Law working its way through the Congress. Next hour, as usual, Scott Dick joins us. He's a retired Army major and our contributor on military and veterans issues. And he's the one who first raised the question on this program back in August about whether Blackwater USA can properly call its mercenaries in Iraq independent contractors. And under the IRS rules, they ain't. And Henry Waxman pointed that out in very stark terms in a committee hearing just the other day. We'll talk about that and many other military and veterans issues with Scott. And in our third hour, as we kick off the Free Speech Zone, we'll get you an invitation to the massive, that's what they're described as, massive protest rallies planned in at least 11 cities across the country this Saturday. And as part of that, the Progressive Democrats of America have announced a new progressive agenda. We'll talk about that in our third and final hour in the Free Speech Zone today. Your calls and comments are welcome here whenever the urge strikes you. Toll free, the number is 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-888-573-8372. And my personal email is available to you, too. It's peter@peterbcollins.com. Or if you don't like what I'm saying, try full of it at peterbcollins.com. It will probably reach me just as fast as the other address. Faz Shakir is the Director of Research at the Center for American Progress. And boy, I got to see if I can fix this right here on the air. We have some feedback coming through on this line, and I just have a hunch that if I turn one of these knobs, we're going to get it to go away. Faz, welcome to the program today.
Hey, Peter, how you doing?
I'm tweaking, but okay. I'm tweaking and peeking, okay. And I'm not sure. Ooh, now I found it. That's where it was coming from. We fixed it. Now I don't have to pay $75 for a service call.
That was a new one. Generally, I come through pretty good.
Yeah. Now, Faz, I wanted to, this line is not sounding good. So, Brian, can you call Faz back for us, and we'll take his call here in just a second. I'll clear that line for you, and I apologize for the dislocation. I guess I am going to have to have a service call. A technician come and tweak the equipment here at my secret studio at the undisclosed location. But we'll get with Faz in just a moment here. And one of the things I want to ask him about is a very interesting sequence of events in the United States Senate this week. Because for quite a while, there has been a delay in the confirmation of Judge Leslie Southwick to serve on the Federal Appeals Court in New Orleans. And the Democrats were pretty well united, saying that he was insensitive on racial and on gay rights issues, and that he should not be confirmed to the judgeship that the president has appointed him to. And our senior senator, Dianne Feinstein, here in California, played a pivotal role in Southwick's confirmation. First, by providing the vote that sent his name from committee to the full Senate, and then by voting to block a filibuster and actually support his nomination. And it was a squeaky confirmation. 59-38 was that vote. Dianne Feinstein cast the critical vote in favor of this extreme right Republican nominee. Faz, what do you make of this?
I don't know. She's playing some kind of game, because what's interesting is that in the cloture vote, and as you know, in the Senate, you need 60 votes to get to the up or down vote, right? And in the cloture vote, she voted no. And so she was amongst the 35 Democrats mm-hmm. who voted no, but the Senate ended up voting 62 to get him, Southwick, to the up or down vote, and then Feinstein flipped and voted for Southwick in the final vote.
And the there were three Democrats who voted in favor of having an up or down vote. They're Carper of Delaware, Inouye of Hawaii, Salazar of Colorado. And once that was completed, they voted against the nomination itself.
There's some kind of game going on here, clearly, because, I think that the Senate had worked out some kind of deal, clearly, with the administration. And what I had heard is that they were going to let the Southwick nomination go through in order to hopefully the administration would allow certain budget agreements to go through in the next few months. We'll see if that actually holds up, and we'll see if that's actually the reason why Southwick went through.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly in terms of this voting records, it's hard to explain. You don't know what's going on here. Why are you voting one way on one vote and then 5 minutes later turning around and voting the other way? There's just no coherence to that at all.
And Faz, I'm not shocked or offended at the idea that our senators do horse trading of unrelated issues. The problem I have here is trading a one-year vote or a one-year appropriation bill for a lifetime federal court appointment of a very conservative judge. That doesn't seem to be trading things of equal value.
That and my concern here is what is the message on record from Feinstein? Do you support this nominee or do you not support this nominee? So, and I think she's tried to muddy the picture so that it, when people like you and I look back a year from now, we'll be like, well, I'm not sure what Feinstein was doing here. You know, it's a very muddied picture. And
I voted against him before I voted for him.
For it. You know, either way you attack her, she's going to say, I did the opposite.
Well, and as you're pointing out, this is a way that the convoluted and arcane rules of the Senate do allow the senators to obscure their actions. And, she's not in any danger at the next reelection point. She's got, let's see, she was up in 06, so she's clear to sail through 2012, and nobody's going to remember this vote at that time.
Right. Yeah, no, nobody's going to remember it, and Hopefully people will account for her as being somebody when it came down to this critical support we needed was somebody who sided with the administration. And she's done that too often, and we'll see if she does again on wiretapping some other issues. But I think it's important to hold their feet to the fire on things like this so that they aren't easily able to do it again when other critical issues arise.
We're talking with Faz Shakir. As we mentioned, he's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report. You can get it free in your email. Just log on to progressreport.org and give them your email, and they'll send it to you on a daily basis. Lead story today is based right here in California. San Diego is the site of these incredible firestorms that are now being brought under control, primarily because the weather has begun to cooperate and the winds have died down. But, Faz, I heard earlier today, this is Thursday, that as President Bush arrived in San Diego to show that this is not another Katrina moment for him, that he's hands-on, he's engaged, he knows what's happened here, that they had to lock down the airspace in the San Diego region so that the aerial tankers and other aerial firefighting equipment is grounded as long as the president is here for his photo op.
I mean, that's outrageous.
I mean, it's not even time for him to get a haircut on the runway.
Right. Well, you know, certain photo ops are more important than others, I guess. And in this case, you had to shut down the fire response to give President Bush his critical photo opportunity to show that he's learned the lessons of Katrina and is now trying to do a better job of disaster response.
Well, one of the pointed comments have come from California's Democratic Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi. He's been all over the media. I've seen him on Hardball the last couple of nights, and he has not minced words. At one point, he kind of angrily responded to the idea that the president would come for this tour and said, tell him to stay home. And one of his aides got to him, and the next time he said, well, we'll be polite to him.
Right. Well, it's clear. I mean, I don't want to say that there's not a role for the president to go to these types of events. Usually, presidents try to stay out of it until the disaster response is completed so that they aren't hindering recovery efforts, whether they're in tornado zones or hurricane zones or, in this case, fire zones. I think that they probably went too early, and it seems like they learned actually the wrong lesson from Katrina, which is they need to do a better job of PR. And clearly everything around this visit was geared to enhancing President Bush's PR efforts, but not actually trying to address the policy lessons learned.
Well, I agree with you, and I think that from the Republicans, starting with our Governor Schwarzenegger and on up the food chain to Chertoff and the new head of FEMA, that they are very aware of the PR issues, and they're looking good. I'll say that the PR campaign is effective. And there are many issues that still have to be addressed before we can really evaluate their performance in this particular episode. But if you just compare the refugees at the stadiums from Katrina at the Super Bowl, or what is it, the
Qualcomm Stadium versus the Superdome.
Yeah, the Superdome. That's what
right.
I was looking for. Clearly, the San Diegans fared much better. Of course, they were able to drive to Qualcomm Stadium.
Right.
And they could have left the stadium when they wanted to go to the supermarket or go out to dinner. So they were not trapped there as definitively as those were in New Orleans.
And I was going to say that the disaster response teams are more qualified, and they had a slightly easier job here because they've been through this so often. I mean, you there in California with your first responders have some of the top-notch people who know how to deal with these situations. And moreover, the way the disaster impacted the communities didn't prevent first responders from doing their job. They were able to do it despite the fact that fires were bearing down. Whereas, of course, in Katrina, the way that hurricane hit, it affected the entire region, and so it impeded the state's ability to respond, which put an impetus on the federal government to respond.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the federal government didn't do anything. In California, the federal government wasn't needed because the state responders were able to do it.
We're going to take a break and return and talk about the National Guard and what this response would have been like if not half of our equipment and half of the uniformed members of the Guard weren't currently deployed in Iraq. We'll discuss that and other issues as we continue with Faz Shakir. Lines are open if you want to join us. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Our radio show for the whole family. dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540 KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
This is Larry Levine of the local United Nations Association. Don't miss our International Film Festival November 9th, 10th, and 11th at the beautiful Golden State Theater in downtown Monterey. We will screen 12 outstanding documentary films from Sudan, Iran, Cuba, Bolivia, Lesotho, and other countries. Admission is just $5 per day, free admission for all students. For films and times, go to www.unamontereybay.org. That's unamontereybay.org.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, where Dean Jeffrey Stone from the University of Chicago Law School will join us about 10 minutes from now to talk about freedom of the press and how to deal with the most secret administration in American history. We continue now with Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. We're still talking about the wildfires in Southern California. And Faz, as you point out in the Progress Report, Glenn Beck says that it's people who hate America who are concentrated in Southern California. That's why these wildfires have broken out. Michelle Malkin is blaming litigious environmentalists.
because they blocked efforts to clear out the forests and clear cut under Bush administration programs. And we all know that this is an act of God or an act of nature, depending on your belief system, and that it was the winds that fueled these fires, drove them, caused the fires to jump highways and jump from one house, skip one, and then, set ablaze a house just down the block. And it's not really that shocking, but it really is sickening to hear these people weigh in and try to shift the blame to humans who've had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, and that's the typical tactics we've seen from the right. Fox News is pointing the finger at Al-Qaeda, which is kind of mildly interesting. There's always a way to blame Al-Qaeda for everything that's going on in the world.
Well, we know that they're responsible for halitosis, for the widespread bad breath in America today. And my assistant producer, Brian, when I mentioned that to him earlier today, he said, well, yeah, but do people with bad breath, should we suspect that they're part of Al-Qaeda? Or just victims?
I mean, the one issue is terrorists. You know, arsonists are terrorists for sure. But Fox went that extra step of saying that the terrorists were actually Al-Qaeda. And I don't think that that's been that there's any connection there, but it's just another fear-mongering effort by the right wing.
And on the left, there are some people who have put two and two together and gotten five. There is this new site for Blackwater's Western Campus, 45 miles east of San Diego, in one of the fire zones. And I have no information to suggest that anybody at the Blackwater site was responsible for the fire in that area, but I've heard people call this program and make that suggestion.
Yeah, and all you can say in response to those things, as you would say to Fox News, is first, find the evidence. You know, prove to me that the claims that you're making have some basis in fact, and then I'll accept them. But the conspiracy-laden approach is one that we should be very skeptical of. Peter, I actually had a question for you. I wanted to go back to the San Diego report that President Bush was violating airspace or preventing the flyovers. Where was that report coming from? That's really interesting.
It came from a caller to the Ed Schultz show.
I see.
And so I can't confirm that, but it is common for airspace to be locked down when the president or Air Force One enters an area like that.
Right.
So let me at least call that an unconfirmed report because it didn't come from...
Well, it certainly makes a lot of sense, and it's certainly something, if true, that we should all, I think, be upset about, because that's not the intent of what President Bush should have been trying to do. And I think from my end as a researcher, that's something I want to make sure that, if true, is highlighted for others to know.
Mm-hmm. Well, do dive into it, and we'll watch the progress report for confirmation of that. Now, one of the other issues is that Lieutenant Governor Garamendi and Senator Boxer have pointed out is that the response here in California was hampered because we have so many National Guard people deployed in Iraq, and fully half of the trucks and other equipment of the California National Guard is either unavailable or deployed in Iraq. Now, one of the things they said is, well, but we brought up 200 people who've been napping on the border because the National Guard units deployed to the border, we know, are actually not doing anything. And so 200 of those were temporarily redeployed into San Diego and then sent back to the border when reinforcements arrived. But the bottom line is that preparedness for disasters like this is severely curtailed because of the war in Iraq.
Yeah, no doubt. And the most pressing concern is the equipment issue. I mean, you can generally get personnel if you need them in situations like this. The federal government's ready to give personnel out of the neighboring states, are ready to hand over some people to help fight the fires. But if you don't have the helicopters available, if you don't have the disaster response kits to help the population out, those are the types of things that are going with the soldiers to Iraq. And as the lieutenant governor said, and Governor Schwarzenegger said this back in May, by the way. He said the problem we have is with equipment is that when it goes to Iraq, it doesn't come back.
Right.
You know, it stays there for whoever is the next in line to go and serve there. So the equipment is going one way. It's going outbound. It's not coming inbound. And so California is just losing resources.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is a very pressing need and very real need that hasn't actually, I think, attracted as much attention as it should.
Faz, thanks for joining us today. Faz Shakir at the Center for American Progress. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Healthy and Delicious Smart Balance Buttery Spread and by Emerson. Whatever the demand, whatever the challenge, with Emerson, you can consider it solved. I'm Charles Osgood. Are things changing enough in Cuba for the United States to change our Cuban policy, to drop our trade embargo, for example? President Bush doesn't think so.
As long as the regime maintains its monopoly over the political and economic life of the Cuban people, the United States will keep the embargo in place.
Appearing at the State Department before a group that included relatives of Cuban political prisoners, Mr. Bush characterized Castro Cuba this way.
The socialist paradise is a tropical gulag.
More after this for Smart Balance. I've enjoyed this great buttery spread for a long time now. I love its buttery taste and the kind of nutrition it stands for. It's naturally trans-fat-free, has no hydrogenated oils, and it's an excellent source of ALA omega-3s. And Smart Balance's taste is so great it won the Chef's Best Award for Best Taste, awarded to the brand rated highest overall among leading vegetable oil spreads by independent professional chefs. So if you're looking for great buttery taste in a spread you'll feel good about, try Smart Balance. With millions of new homes being built in China, finding an energy-responsible way of heating and cooling them becomes critical. And that's why businesses turn to Emerson. Emerson accurately predicts what world trends mean for them, so that Emerson can create the technologies that allow homeowners to cut energy usage and their electric bills. Emerson anticipates customer needs so that when they're ready, Emerson's ready. Emerson, consider it solved. What was President Bush's speech on Cuba intended to achieve? Pamela Falk is CBS News foreign affairs analyst.
President Bush's speech on Cuba, which included two new policy proposals, was directed at the Cuban people, but more importantly, to the Democrat-led U.S. Congress, which might be more inclined to begin the lifting of the embargo as Fidel Castro's health deteriorates.
The policy proposals were an offer to supply computers, internet access, and scholarships to Cuban children, but only if the Castro government relaxes restrictions on political activity, and to promise a freedom fund to finance reconstruction once that government announces free speech and free elections.
Now is the time to support the democratic movements growing on the island. Now is the time to stand with the Cuban people as they stand up for their liberty. Now is the time for the world to put aside its differences and prepare for Cuban's transition to a future of freedom and progress and promise.
Again, Pamela Falk.
On a policy front, the president intended to make the point now that Raul Castro taking Fidel Castro's place at the helm in Cuba is no transition at all and therefore will not change U.S. policy toward Cuba unless fundamental freedoms are given to the Cuban people.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. You probably know about the First Amendment, your right to free speech, the right for a free press in this country. Well, I believe those rights are under assault in these perilous times.
I saw a face in the shower door.
And I chose the term Perilous Times because that is the previous title by author Jeffrey R. Stone. He's the former dean of the law school at the University of Chicago and continues there as a professor of law. His new book is called Top Secret, When Our Government Keeps Us in the Dark. Dean Stone, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, these are important issues, and some of them have come into sharper focus here in recent weeks as Congress is wrangling with a federal shield law for journalists. And I'm very interested in this because it appears that since there hasn't been a substantive policy at the federal level, there's been a Justice Department policy, but it doesn't hold the standard of a statute, that we've seen some very difficult cases come before the courts challenging reporters' prerogative to maintain the confidentiality of sources. And I'd like to talk with you about the Valerie Plame case, about the Balco case here in San Francisco, and a lesser-known case, blogger Josh Wolf, who has spent over 226 days in a federal lockup for refusing to cooperate with a federal court on these issues. Your book offers a legal background on these issues. If you would, give us a little mini lecture, if you would, on the basic rights that we have in this society, and particularly how they apply to journalists.
Well, the basic idea of a journalist privilege is similar to that of an attorney-client privilege or a doctor-patient privilege or a priest-penitent privilege. That is that there are certain circumstances in which we want to encourage people to speak openly, where they may be reluctant to do so because they want their communications to be confidential. And if they can't be made confidential, they may refuse to reveal information. So an attorney who's to represent a client needs to know whatever the client knows, and we don't want attorneys to be in the position where anything the client tells them, the attorney can then be required to disclose to the prosecution. Same with a doctor and a patient. You want the patient who's getting medical treatment to be able to talk candidly to the doctor or the psychiatrist without worrying that the doctor or psychiatrist can then turn around and be required to reveal everything that the patient has disclosed. So the journalist, essentially, who's standing in for the public, wants the ability to have sources convey information to them that would be of value to the public when sources might be reluctant otherwise to do so. So a simple example would be an assistant to a United States senator who learns that the senator has taken a bribe, and the staff member doesn't want it known that he's the one who blew the whistle on this because he doesn't want to be known as someone who's thought to be disloyal. And so he calls the reporter and he says, look, I can tell you something about the senator, but you have to promise that you'll keep this confidential.
Right.
And the reporter says he'll do that, publishes the information. A grand jury is convened to investigate the senator, and the reporter is called before the grand jury, and the prosecutor says, tell us who told you this information so we can get to the bottom of it. And so that's the sort of typical situation. 49 states and the District of Columbia have journalist privileges that shield the disclosure of such information either absolutely or at least unless the government can make a very substantial showing of need before they can pierce the privilege. But the federal government does not have such a privilege. And that has created a good deal of chaos in federal investigations, partly because frequently the source never knows when he speaks with a reporter whether some investigation that may happen later will be in state court where the conversation would be privileged,
mm-hmm.
or federal court where it won't be privileged. And so there's two ways in which one could get such a privilege in federal court. One of them is through the interpretation of the First Amendment, where the Supreme Court could hold that it violates the First Amendment for the government to insist that a journalist turn over the identity of sources. But in 1971, the Supreme Court, in a 5-4 decision, rejected that argument and held that the First Amendment does not, of its own force, create such a privilege. And
was that related to the Pentagon Papers case?
No, actually, it was a separate matter.
Okay.
And the second way one could get it would be through a federal statute. And that's what's now being debated in Congress. And the key impetus for that statute now has been the series of investigations in which federal officials have attempted to pierce the privilege, or at least insist that journalists turn over information, and where journalists have said, well, there should be a privilege, and courts have said, maybe there should be, but in any event, there isn't, and so you have to disclose the information. And that's what happened to Judith Miller, and that's what happened in these other circumstances when reporters who made promises to keep things confidential in situations when, frankly, they shouldn't have because they had no legal right to make those promises, then find themselves caught between the source to whom they've made a promise and the government who's insisting that they reveal the information.
Now, this week we've heard a lot from Valerie Plame, who was silent for many years because of her role at the CIA. She has left the CIA and is out on a book tour trying to set the record straight and give her side of the story of how her identity was revealed in an effort to pay back her husband for writing things that the Bush administration didn't particularly enjoy or appreciate. And I'm curious on your take. Let me just take a moment here to outline my theory here. I believe that the four identified leakers, Ari Fleischer, Karl Rove, Assistant Secretary of State Armitage, and the fourth, Scooter Libby, almost forgot about him,
right.
that they were part of an organized effort to disseminate information to discredit Ambassador Joe Wilson for the column that he wrote in the New York Times and the general message that undermined the claim that Saddam was seeking uranium from the African nation of Niger. And I believe that they consciously used their sense of the press shield, even though there wasn't a federal law, that they figured that they could at least buy time, if not get the whole case thrown out or caught up in the courts, by saying that these journalists were the source of the information and that they had a privilege that, would not be overruled to keep this information confidential. So my theory is that the leakers were conscious of this effort to get the information out there and then say that they got it from the press, hoping that a court would never pierce the perceived shield, even though one did not legally exist at the federal level at that time.
That's, I think, probably too clever by half. I think that is a simpler explanation, which is that to the extent they did leak this information, they either believed that it was lawful to do so, and therefore that although they were vulnerable politically to the revelation of the information, they nonetheless assumed the journalist would, as Judith Miller did, refuse to disclose the information, as you say, for some substantial period of time. But the really interesting issue about those leaks is that they pose the question of whether a leak that is itself unlawful should ever be privileged. I mean, there's a peculiar irony in the situation like these. The example I gave before of the staff member to the senator mm-hmm. who discloses that the senator took a bribe is not violating any law by revealing the information to a reporter. It's perfectly lawful for a Senate staff member to disclose such information. In the Valerie Plame situation, at least arguably, the individuals who disclosed the identity of a CIA operative were violating the law. And in that particular situation, it's not at all obvious that it makes sense to provide a privilege. Remember, the reason for the privilege is to encourage the source to be willing to speak with the reporter.
Mm-hmm.
But if the disclosure from the leaker, from the source to the reporter is itself a crime, then we've already decided that we don't want to encourage that kind of a disclosure. So they were speaking in a doubly peculiar situation. On the one hand, there was no privilege, and undoubtedly they knew that. And second of all, even to the extent there might have been a privilege, it might not have applied to them, given the fact that they were at least arguably committing a criminal offense.
But see, my theory, Dean Stone, is that they were trying to buy time, and that their initial goal was to get this past November of 2004, and they succeeded in doing that by tying up the issue in these preliminary arguments about sources, confidentiality, and the 85-day jail term that Judith Miller served.
Right, but remember, Judith Miller could have done what Bob Novak presumably did, which was simply tell the grand jury what she knew. I mean, it was a huge gamble for them to rely on Judith Miller to be willing to go to jail for 85 days. So it turned out she did, but remember, Matt Cooper didn't, and the Time Magazine authorized the disclosure of the information in the face of the subpoena. So the difficulty with that theory is that it puts an awful lot of risk that Judy Miller would, in fact, do what she did when some of the other reporters didn't do what she did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you make a good point there. Now, Dean Stone, what do you make of the issues in the so-called Balco case? This is the San Francisco Chronicle reporters Lance Williams and Mark Fenaru Wada, who had a source who indicated to them that Barry Bonds lied to the grand jury. They published that in a newspaper and in a book. And they were held in contempt of court. Ultimately, they didn't have to serve the sentence because the source came forward and acknowledged that he had leaked the grand jury testimony. Now, in your book, you point out that passive receipt of that kind of information is not a crime for the reporters. But what is your take on, A, the nature of the federal interest in a case about baseball? Now, you know, some of this occurs across state lines. It's interstate commerce. I guess I can understand that. But is this a federal case in the true sense of that term? And do you believe that the court operated properly in finding those reporters in contempt?
Given the absence of a federal privilege, I think that the federal court didn't really have much of an alternative. So I think the failure there is not on the part of the federal court, but on the failure of Congress to enact a privilege in the first place. So the federal interest in this investigation is that there was a federal grand jury that was convened to investigate the question of illegal drug use and distribution of drugs. And the federal grand jury had confidential records, which the grand jury always has as confidential, and someone unlawfully leaked them. So the what was being investigated in the subpoena of the reporters was not anything having directly to do with the use of steroids. It was rather the illegal release of grand jury information.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been a crime that would be investigated regardless of whether we were talking about a murder case or a kidnapping or a rape or any other federal offense. So I think, again, the difficulty in this situation is not so much with what the court did with respect to the federal decision to issue a subpoena, because the federal court has to operate lawfully, and the Supreme Court has said there's no First Amendment privilege, and there is no federal statute privilege, so the court really doesn't have a whole lot of option before it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the difficulty, again, here is not so much in the way the court behaved, but it was in the absence of a federal privilege. Now, the reason there had been no federal privilege, by the way, is interesting. I think for a long time now, the national press has allowed the perfect to be the enemy of the good. So 49 states have adopted privileges, but the federal government hasn't. And the primary reason the federal government hasn't is that whenever the issue of adopting a statutory privilege has arisen in Congress, members of the press have basically insisted that it must be an absolute privilege. And members of Congress, whenever that has been put in their face, have tended to say, no, we're not going to go that far. So the hypothetical that they worry about is, let's suppose that someone tells a reporter that there is a nuclear bomb in a building in San Francisco and won't tell the reporter which building it's in, but it's going to go off tomorrow. And the reporter reports this information publicly, and the FBI grab the reporter and say, tell us who told you this, because we want to find this guy, and we want to find out what building the bomb is in.
Mm-hmm.
And the reporter says, sorry, I'm not going to tell you. Well, an absolute privilege would give the reporter the right not to disclose that information. And as soon as the senators hear the press saying, yes, in that situation we have an absolute privilege, the members of the Congress have pretty much lost interest in the idea of a privilege.
Yeah, that's the Jack Bauer ticking time bomb scenario.
Yeah, exactly.
And it keeps coming back as if it's reality and as if it occurs on a regular basis. And we'll talk after the break here about the legislation that's working its way through, because it does have clear exclusions
for sensitive national security information.
Correct.
We'll take a break and return with Dean Jeffrey Stone. He spells Jeffrey with a G, and his new book is called Top Secret, When Our Government Keeps Us in the Dark. It's out in hardcover from Roman and Littlefield Publishers. We'll take a break and return. If you've got a question, call me now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. And Barry Bonds, you can call in too, 888-573-8372. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
How many times have you bumped up against the belief that in fact harms you, hurts you, and really acts like a disease? How often is belief a barrier to well-being and happiness? Healing Beyond Limits Radio, heard Sundays from 9 to 10 a.m., cuts through the busyness of life and gets to the heart of what you can do to throw away limitations and live the life you want. Join the unlikely oncologist, Dr. Debbie Lindquist, and world-renowned life coach, journalist, Glenn Brooks, and discover how you can dissolve ideas and actions that hold you back. Heard on the Vibrant Living Radio Network, right here on KRXA 540 a.m.
Want more energy and protection from disease? U.S. Wellness Meats have an ideal omega-3 to 6 ratio, are 2 to 4 times more plentiful in vitamins A and E than grain-fed beef, have one-third fewer calories, and can slow or even halt diabetes. We have been featured for our exceptional taste in Food & Wine magazine and in the New York Times. We are meat that matters to your health, enjoyment, and to our ecology. U.S. Wellness Meats, 1-877-383-0051 or online at www.uswellnessmeats.com. That's 1-877-383-0051.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain Peter B. We're talking with Dean Jeffrey Stone. He's the former dean of the law school at the University of Chicago, where he continues as a professor. His new book is Top Secret, When Our Government Keeps Us in the Dark. And Dean Stone, next, I wanted to ask you about the Josh Wolf case. This is a young man who is not a professional journalist in the terms that many people would use. He was a video blogger who happened to be rolling his camera during a demonstration in San Francisco, and a San Francisco Police Department cruiser was set on fire. And they hauled him into federal court. And this was intentional because in California courts, they could not have compelled testimony from him because of the California Reporters Shield law. So with that knowledge, the DA went into federal court And the claim that this was a federal case is such a stretch because the San Francisco Police Department receives federal funds. And perhaps, you know, the tailpipe of that police car that was burned might have been paid for by federal funds, or maybe the radio inside the car. Based on that, Josh Wolf stood his ground, refused to cough up the information, which was trivial and not very useful in the end. And he spent 226 days in a federal lockup because of his stand and because of the contempt of court citation. What's your take on that case?
Well, first of all, to the extent that the federal investigation was as thin as you suggest, a court should not have, those are the accurate facts, a court certainly should not in that situation have issued the subpoena or held him in contempt because the federal interest in the matter was so tangential. A second reaction, though, is that his claim, putting that issue of the connection to the federal court aside for the moment, his claim is interesting in two additional ways. I mean, first, there is the question of who gets to assert the privilege. One of the reasons the Supreme Court declined to recognize a First Amendment privilege for journalists 35 years ago was because the court did not want to have to determine as a First Amendment matter who is the press. It basically said that would be a very dangerous road to go down because it would require a constitutional definition of who is and who is not a journalist. And one of the issues, of course, about even the interpretation of statutes involving privileges these days is whether it applies to bloggers. And there are lots of situations where this issue could arise. So, I mean, as a law professor who's writing a book who promises confidentiality to a source entitled to assert the privilege, is a school newspaper reporter entitled to assert the privilege, and, of course, is a blogger entitled to assert it. Mm-hmm. So one of the things the Wolf case does is to pose the question of even in a jurisdiction that has a privilege, how far does the privilege extend in terms of the ability of individuals to assert it? And then the second interesting issue in this context is Wolf's claim is not the traditional journalist source privilege. That is, in the traditional journalist source privilege, it's the reporter saying, a source relied upon my confidentiality in turning over information to me. And it's actually the source's privilege, not mm-hmm. the reporter's.
Right.
In this context, there is no confidential source. Wolf basically wants to be able to keep secret or keep confidential the material that he has gathered in his own work as a reporter or as a blogger.
That he didn't publish.
Right, that he didn't publish.
Yeah, outtakes.
And you and I would have no right to do that. I mean, if you and I had knowledge that we gained through any other activity, mm-hmm. Ordinarily we'd be required to turn it over to a court. There's no right to refuse to obey an otherwise lawful subpoena. So his claim is that because I gathered this information in the course of my activities as a reporter, I'm privileged not to turn it over to you. And that's actually a very bold application of the concept of the privilege,
yeah.
because it extends way beyond the idea of a confidential source, and instead essentially argues that reporters are entitled to be autonomous, and that courts shouldn't bother them in terms of requiring them to turn over information, unless at least there's a very good reason to do so. So that's even a much more aggressive application of the idea of a journalist privilege than the mm-hmm. one that's involved in the more familiar cases like Balco and Valerie Plame, because those involve confidential sources.
Right.
Here it's a much broader argument.
And just about a minute and a half remaining, Dean Stone, let me jump to the Shield Law, the federal Shield Law proposed. It's passed the House by a veto-proof margin, 398-21. It does have an exclusion here that says it would require journalists to, it would offer them a qualified privilege that would prevent them from testifying or turning over their notes in most cases, but they'd still be forced to testify under limited circumstances to prevent a terrorist attack or significant and specified harm. The other key issue is that the definition of a journalist, as we were just discussing, comes into play in this legislation. And the language written by Mike Pence, the Republican from Indiana, excludes what they call casual bloggers.
Right.
And I know some bloggers who are more than casual, but based on the language of this law, might not be covered. Are you comfortable with the language that's currently in the bill?
Well, there's two ways to deal with this. One way to deal with it is to say, because this isn't really the privilege of the journalist, it's the privilege of the source, you don't really need to have every journalist have the privilege. If the real concern here is the public's ability to gather information, what's necessary is that sources can find people to whom they can convey the information who will be able to protect the confidentiality. So it doesn't really matter, to be honest, whether every blogger under the sun, or any blogger for that matter, has the privilege. The bloggers want to have the privilege for perfectly understandable reasons. But from the standpoint of finding a mechanism by which information can be channeled from a source who doesn't want its identity to be known to the public, it's not really essential that every intermediary has to be able to assert the privilege.
Very interesting, sir, and you've taught me quite a bit in just half an hour. Thank you for joining us today, Jeffrey Stone. The book is Top Secret, and it's out in hardcover at your local bookstore. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show, and that makes me glad. If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Southern California, reassurance from the president.
We're not going to forget you in Washington, D.C. We want the people to know that there's a better day ahead.
The House passes another S-CHIP bill.
To be a great nation, we have to take care of the health of our children.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Marine One carried President Bush on an aerial tour of the fire damage, and with Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger as tour guide, he visited some of the burned-out communities, including Rancho Bernardo. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer went along.
So that was one of our crises.
That sound symbolizes what's left of hundreds of homes here. Nothing but rubble. That's President Bush walking through the ash-covered junk that was once the home of Jay and Kendra Jeffcoat.
We know how tough it is for you.
The president draped an arm around a tearful Mrs. Jeffcoat.
We appreciate your spirit. Really do, because it was I think all of us who met you were very impressed by your determination to deal with this tough moment in your life and rebuild your lives.
The president choppered over a slice of the vast fire zone, seeing devastated neighborhoods and homes that were spared, all determined by the winds. He promises more federal help in what will be a long recovery effort. Peter Mayer, CBS News, San Diego.
The death toll rose today when officials announced the discovery of two burned bodies near Poway, just north of San Diego. KNX Radio's John Baird tells us it was an elderly couple who refused to evacuate.
Their son begged them to leave. Begged them to leave. They refused, even though there was a mandatory evacuation order. And then a missing persons report was filed after the fire. Sheriff came up yesterday, found one body, and then came up again this morning and found the other.
One of the most stubborn fires is the one that was set in San Diego Canyon. Not only has it caused tremendous damage, Orange County Fire Chief Chip Prather says it diverted resources.
They prohibited us from responding to our neighbors to help. And that is another reason that I am committed to capturing these people.
A small fire in Riverside County has also been labeled arson. Diminishing wind helps the firefighters, but it means more smoke and ash in the air. Marcia Plumley Ozog lives on a mountain overlooking San Diego.
You can't keep on top of it. You know, you go outside, you stand out there for a couple of minutes, and your shoulders and your head covered with ash.
President Bush's entourage was provided with masks and wet towels. Now this.
There's nothing small about today's small business. Big hours make up big work weeks. Every meeting is a big meeting. Every call is a big call. When the only printer for all the computers breaks down, it's a big problem. And now, thanks to Aflac, even small business insurance has gone big. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. Now, your small business can have the same great Aflac products and service the big guys get. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or visit aflacsb.com.
Aflac!
For Small Business, American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
TGI Fridays Restaurants presents Food for Thought. Know this, your taste buds have feelings, so give them Friday's three-course meal for $12.99 and choose your appetizer, entree, and dessert. Now with our new sweet and savory Asian garlic chicken. So come in for Friday's $12.99 three-course meal for a limited time only. It won't last long. And remember, you're not salivating. Those are taste bud tears of joy. Gimme more Fridays.
Prices and participation may vary. Limited time only.
In the House this afternoon,
the yeas are 265, the nays are 142.
A modified children's health insurance bill is passed in defiance of President Bush.
Democrats made some changes they said answered Republican complaints about high-income recipients and illegal immigrants and passed it again.
It's time to put the children first.
Speaker Nancy Pelosi is determined to expand the program to 10 million children. Republicans like Sam Johnson of Texas still oppose it.
If you put lipstick on a pig, it'll still be a pig.
There are still not enough Republican votes to override another promised presidential veto, but Democrats say they'll keep trying and see nothing but political advantage in making President Bush veto children's health care again. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The Bush administration slapped new sanctions on Iran today. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick reports they're the toughest since the U.S. Embassy in Tehran was seized in 1979.
The sanctions are aimed at the Revolutionary Guard and three Iranian banks. They will prevent U.S. citizens from doing business with those banks. The U.S. believes they're funneling money to terrorists. In announcing the sanctions, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice said diplomacy remains the best solution, but she called Iran's behavior threatening.
The International Space Station got company today. A seven-member crew of Shuttle Discovery arrived to help the three occupants of the space station with some home improvements. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
You've reached Pearson Incorporated. For Matt Pearson Sales, press 1. For Matt Pearson Accounting, press 1. For Matt Pearson Human Resources, press 1.
At Aflac, we know things are different in small companies. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. With Aflac SB, your small business can have the same Aflac products and service the big guys get. At no direct cost to you.
For Matt Pearson in a state of exhaustion, press 1.
To learn more, call 800-99-AFLAC or visit aflacsb.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
I'm thinking of a number between 450 and 850. Know what it is? It's my credit score, and it happens to be 720. Do you know your credit score? Do you know what's in your credit report? You can find out right now at freecreditreport.com. How much easier could it get? Log on to freecreditreport.com. It's fast, free, and easy. That's freecreditreport.com. Offer applies with enrollment and triple advantage.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
I can't find that on the radio. Yo, turn to that station.
Yeah, that station. The one with all those dangerous lefties hating America and causing wildfires in Southern California. Yeah, that station.
The world is collapsing around our ears. I turned up the radio. I can't hear it.
Thanks for turning your radio on for the Peter B. Collins Show. Wherever you are, however you happen to be listening, I'm glad you're there. If you're listening live, you can call in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. This hour is devoted to military and veterans issues. Scott Dick will join us here in a second. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And if you're listening to a podcast or a weekend replay, drop me a note, peter at peterbcollins.com. The email works 24/7, and I'm always interested in what you have to say.
Never
Listeners have told me that I don't do enough self-promotion, patting ourselves on the back and claiming moments of victory when they occur. So let me step out of my usual humble and modest role today to share some credit with Scott Dick, because it was back in August, if I remember correctly, that Scott raised the issue of the employees, the mercenaries who work for Blackwater USA on duty in Iraq. What is their actual status? What is their status according to the rules of the Internal Revenue Service? Well, it really got me to thinking, because I know a little bit about this. I've been audited by the feds four times, and one of the issues was whether I was an independent contractor or not. So I have learned about this the hard way. And when Scott raised the issue, alarm bells went off immediately. And I said, yeah, they don't meet the criteria. There are 19 different checklist points that the IRS offers. So, Scott Dick, I want to commend you for your clear thinking, your stunning analysis, and getting to this issue, what, about 2 months ahead of Henry Waxman and his Government Oversight Committee.
Thank you, Peter. That's gratifying, to say the least.
Well, and it was gratifying to pick up the paper and see the story. Earlier this week, it was Monday, when Henry Waxman, at a public hearing of the Committee on Oversight and Government Reform, made the charge that Blackwater USA appears to be evading the withholding and payment of taxes and Social Security contributions and the other things that we get dinged for on our paychecks when we are employees, and that Blackwater was evading that responsibility by labeling these people as independent contractors, even though they don't meet the legal criteria and definition.
Right. Blackwater, in fairness to Blackwater, they've appealed the decision, but anybody could tell you it's pretty much a frivolous appeal. And they could get whacked for, I think I saw, $35 million in back taxes, and then when you add penalties and everything to that, we're talking close to $50 million, as it should be. But that's not all, Peter.
That's not all. Go ahead.
That's not all. Apparently, am I thinking about, I used to be a government contractor, bless government contractors' hearts, some are good or some are bad, but I think they're definitely, the State Department and Blackwater together, in violation of federal acquisition regulations in a couple of ways. You ready to go?
I am ready, and I have your memorandum, an email that you have been attempting to deliver to Henry Waxman over the past few days.
I finally got in contact with somebody in the office who got me in contact with somebody else in the office who didn't know what I was talking about, but I hope to get it worked out with them. So at least instead of just sitting around waiting for something to happen, I can say, you know, the direct hand of email, I guess is as good as I could put it.
Now, before you dive into this, let me just make one other point, and that is that Eric Prince, who is the CEO of Blackwater USA, has made the case that his workers, his soldiers of fortune, call them mercenaries or you know, contract military personnel, the people that are working under the aegis of Blackwater in Iraq, he claims are actually directly employed by the State Department, as if Blackwater is just a volunteer organizer of the effort. So,
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, in response to the memorandum or the letter that Waxman sent him, one of his spokesmen said, you know, it's too bad that the representative is just trying to make a case and color public opinion. And then Prince came out and said, you know, we do the training, we get the equipment, and when they get to Afghanistan and Iraq, they are instantly a State Department employee. Well, Peter, that's impossible. And let me tell you why. Mm-hmm. First of all, the U.S. government is prohibited by contracting regulations from contracting to execute any kind of government contract for inherently governmental functions. Now, that may be tough for some people to get their heads around, but if it's an inherently governmental function, it can't be contracted for. So I'll give you a good example. You have DynCorp private security contractors. If they are guarding a warehouse, I mean, there are security guards on bases in the United States. That's a little bit different. They're sort of acting in a different kind of function.
Mm-hmm.
And so to parse out this policy, they've added some interesting notes. Governmental functions, for example, the direct conduct of criminal investigations. Didn't Blackwater employee at the State Department write the investigation report about the September 16th event?
Yes, he did.
Okay. Here's another one. The command of military forces, especially the leadership of military personnel who are members of the combat, combat support, and combat service support role. A lot of those troops riding in those convoys take direction from those ex-special forces troops who are Blackwater contractors.
Right.
That's a violation.
Mm-hmm.
There's the direction and control of intelligence and counterintelligence operations. The selection or non-selection of individuals for federal government employment. So right there, Blackwater Prince couldn't be doing what he says he's doing because it's prohibited, including the interviewing of individuals for employment. It goes on. It talks about all sorts of things, voucher and invoice examination, treasury accounts. So it's very specific. And then it says, look, you know, we might contract for logistics. So KBR working in Bosnia or KBR working in Iraq, they get the job, provide food for troops 3 times a day. You know, that's a simple kind of contract, because the other part that they're prohibited from contracting for are personal service contracts. And I just have to sort of, it's hard for me to, because it's in government speak, it's hard for me to truncate this. So let me just give it to you straight, Peter.
All right.
Personal services contract is characterized by the employer-employee relationship it creates between the government and the contractor's personnel. The government is normally required to obtain its employees by direct hire under competitive appointment or other procedures required by civil service laws. Obtaining personal services by contract rather than by direct hire circumvents those laws unless Congress has specifically authorized acquisition of the services by contract. So the next part of that is, agencies shall not award personal service contracts unless specifically authorized by statute to do so. Some of my questions to Waxman's office was, if they got congressional approval, when did it happen? You know, who entered the bill? When it was approved? And then it says...
Well, and that's one of my lingering questions. If under the Republican control, sometime in the last 4 years, there was a line or two inserted into one of these supplemental appropriation bills or other must-pass bills that gave some protection to Blackwater on the issue of independent contractor status for their workers, employees is a loaded term, so their workers in Iraq. And the other issue has to do with the liability that Blackwater has for the actions of these people who are working more or less under their control, depending on whose side of the story you take.
Right. What makes it impossible is that this is a personal... These guys riding shotgun, they take their direction from the embassy security officer. And that right there says, the manner of its administration during performance, contractor personnel are subject to relatively continuous supervision and control of a government officer employee. And that's what Prince does, is what makes his contractors special. And, of course, that's illegal under federal acquisition regulations. So He's got himself into a poop sandwich, and I'm curious to see what Congress is going to make of this.
Yeah, and Waxman revealed about Blackwater is that it was March of this year when the Internal Revenue Service sent a letter to Blackwater saying that the company's classification of a security guard as an independent contractor instead of an employee was, quote-unquote, without merit. So that's a pretty clear-cut issue that, Blackwater is not in compliance with the IRS rules. What I can't say with any certainty at this point is if the IRS rules and the contracting rules that you just cited are somehow trumped by a little clause that Duke Cunningham or somebody like that inserted when nobody was looking.
Well, that's possible, but that would open the door for all sorts of contract fraud, waste, and abuse, and I'd be surprised. Well, you know, that'd be the perfect place to do it, is hide it in one of those appropriations bills. But then DynCorp, you know, where one contractor goes, all the contractors go. So it seems far-fetched that they got a blanket, some kind of blanket approval, and that they did it by name, because then the contractor, see, that's a violation of contract regulations right there, to favor one contractor over another.
Well, I understand. It's just that we can't apply the rule of law and rational thinking as the final approaches to this issue, Scott, because Paul Bremer may have, whispered in a senator's ear, I need some protection for Blackwater. Here's the clause inserted in a bill. There are other back-channel ways that this administration would have no problem using to support an entity like Blackwater that has close political ties to the administration and was doing important dirty work in Iraq and Afghanistan on behalf of this administration.
I think what's happened, it's much more, I mean, that's your take, Peter. You've been at this a lot longer than I have, but my take is the people in state just thought they had a great idea under exigent circumstances the first year they were in Iraq, because there is some prevalence for this. I mean, there's some precedent for this. They got the contracts, secured their diplomats. Acquisition officers knew maybe it was pushing the rules, but they thought, hey, this is war. But as you get into the second year and the third year, it goes way past war, it goes past fraud and abuse. It goes to fraud and abuse. And I think they were hoping that either the acquisition officers played ball or they're just ignorant. Mm-hmm. One of those two, or they got a special provision, which is also would be interesting to see how that got paid off.
Right. We're going to take a break and return with Scott Dick. We're talking military and veterans issues. Got a couple of callers we'll get to in the next segment. You can join this conversation, too, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372. We'll continue in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Let me welcome you to Planet Cruise.
It's an all-new Planet Cruise Comedy Hour hosted by me, Richard Stockton, Friday, November 2nd.
The sexual harassment therapy was useless. I already know how to do it.
Tonight Show comedians Mark Pitta.
What did I say?
And Karen Babbitt. It's a Santa Cruz-style prairie home companion with the Raging Granny.
Raging Grannies.
Ukulele Dick.
Not Ukulele Dick.
Great Morgani. Blues Great Al Frisbee. Dr. Bruce Lipton. Dr. Rupert Opie. Belly Dancer Tamron Nelson. All the outpatient players.
They let the players out.
And the Planetoid Band, all comedically capturing the spirit of Santa Cruz. Friday, November 2nd at the Columba Jazz Center. And this is an all-new show, so get your tickets early.
Ooh, save our bucks.
At Streetlight Records and Gateways Books. Friday, November 2nd at the Columba, the Planet Cruise Comedy Hour. You're gonna laugh your glutes off.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Okay.
Well, happy Thursday, everybody, and welcome to your afternoon traffic. Let's talk about a major problem in the San Jose area. A SIG alert being issued there, which indicates, again, a serious problem. San Jose, North 101 at De La Cruz. The off-ramp has been closed. The reason, police activity. Northbound 87 connector to northbound 101. Also, the right lane apparently blocked. The off-ramp to De La Cruz closed as well. Traffic on the northbound 101 is extremely slow from about Broca. No estimated time of reopening because of this police activity. Gonzalez, we're looking at Iverson at Gloria. We have a solo vehicle that went off the roadway. CHP is on scene. If you're in the King City area, Highway 198 at 101. Two-car crash, right shoulder. Boulder Creek, Jameson Creek at Highway 236. Heads up, two horses, two goats walking the lanes.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs. I always like to mention that Scott served in the Marine Corps and then jumped over to the Army, where he retired at the rank of major. And he has made excellent contributions to this program. Scott, one other item here related to Blackwater and the contracting flaps. Over at the State Department, Richard Griffin, who was in charge of the Diplomatic Security Bureau, was shown the door. He resigned the other day without directly acknowledging its connection to the Blackwater case, but he has resigned effective the 1st of November. Any comment on that?
Well, Peter, that's, you know, his resignation is what made me think of the contracting regulations, frankly. It was suspicious that somebody that's doing a great job, you did a great job, Blackie, would fire himself.
Griffey in this case.
Yeah. And so, you know, it seems far-fetched that a guy would fire himself at 35% hostile fire pay and 35% danger pay, locality pay. So he's making some good money serving in Iraq, and then he suddenly fires himself, and that tells me that there's some kind of contracting deal involved, because he's the guy who would supervise the contracts with his contracting officer for Blackwater.
Mm-hmm.
And so not exercising enough supervision, blah, blah, that normally wouldn't get you in trouble with the con, you know, big fraud, waste, and abuse. But maybe they just said, well, on what basis did you execute these contracts? Because, you know, Condoleezza Rice, she doesn't know anything about anything, and she doesn't know the regs, and so she just goes with what people tell her.
Yeah.
But then she finds out, oh, boy, maybe we're in violation of the FARs, and so it's time for him to go. Now that he's gone, when this comes up, Peter, they could say, well, look, he did it, and we fired him.
Well, he's obviously a fall guy. We just don't know the complete dimensions of what he took the fall for.
And remember that the guy that wrote the investigation of the September 16th incident was working in the same office, diplomatic security, and he was attached there as a Blackwater subcontractor.
Mm-hmm.
So that all is very, you know, here, write a report on yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all flaky. And, of course, it came out they were attacked in a car bomb and, you know, they were shot up and all that stuff. And then it turns out that all that's a pack of lies.
Yes, it is. It clearly appears to be the case. Linda in Sacramento, thanks for holding. You're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show with Scott Dick.
Hello. This is a little off to the side, but it's about the people who are working in the fire area.
Mm-hmm.
This morning, I happened to be listening to Stephanie Miller. That's where my daughter goes to work.
Uh-huh.
And someone called in. And there were some, apparently, Marines were sent from someplace in the northeast, I don't know, Maine. Is there a Marine base in Maine?
Or Scott may know. I don't.
Well, they said, anyway, these were, the guy who spoke sounded like a young guy, and he said that there were 500 of them sent to California, and they were told to take off their Marine uniforms and put on
Al Qaeda uniforms?
No. Put on the that's funny though. Our National Guard uniforms in California, and then not to say very much.
Well, that's interesting. Now, Scott, have you ever heard of anything like that? And would a Marine actually shift into a National Guard uniform and say nothing?
Well, normally you can tell us, bless their hearts, I love the National Guard, send your email to Peter, but normally you can tell a National Guard is from a mile away. You know, 45-year-old privates.
Yeah.
Guys are a little bit not quite meet the weight height standards.
You mean chubby like me?
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, but hair. And, hello? Hello?
Yeah, Linda, hold on. Go ahead, Scott.
And so that seems pretty far-fetched to me. Why would they do that? If they're sending Marines from Camp Pendleton, why would they send Marines from Maine and then have them change uniforms?
Yeah.
That sounds like a tin hat to sort of.
Well, you know,
and there are at least two fires that broke out on the base at Camp Pendleton. So you know the Marines there
guys,
in the thick of it.
These guys might have been doing a joke or something, but there was a news person involved, and they called in, and then people called in about the posse comitatus and you can't send, you know, before it was.
You can't deploy active duty troops inside the nation.
Now they've gotten rid of that, right?
Well, I'm not entirely clear on that. Yes, there was a clause in a bill that appeared to suspend posse comitatus,
anyway,
but we haven't seen
it
tested.
And I only heard about it once, and there were several calls about it, and this young man was talking about it. But it sounds goofy, you know.
Well,
I heard later there were 500. Prisoners from
Donovan. That part is true. Linda, I got to go to a break here. We will look into that and report back to you if we find anything that corroborates it. Thanks for your call to the Peter B. Collins Show at 888-5-PETER-B. We'll continue with Scott Dick after this exciting commercial break.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. The fires, according to YouTube. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. You see the California fires on broadcast TV, but you get a little different perspective on YouTube.
This really sucks.
Here's a kid with a camcorder standing in his driveway.
This is outside my house. Everything's red, windy. The tree is about to fall down right next to us. See all the ashes here. You can hear all the fire trucks in the distance. We're probably going to evacuate soon.
He lives across the street from the fire station.
Right now it's right up to the fire station.
Oh, man.
Hear that whispered, oh, man? That tells you exactly how safe he feels. Meanwhile, at another house, the flames are creeping up the hill towards the deck.
Come on, guys. Come on, guys. Save this house. Please save this house. Please save this house.
Prayer answered.
Here they come. Yeah, baby.
And as the hoses open up, he gets the ultimate compliment.
Is this your home?
Yeah, it is. You need any help?
Nice job. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. They're complimenting me on the job I did cutting down all the brush. There are nine firemen in our backyard saving our house.
They'd cut the brush just the week before.
You guys want water, Cokes, or anything, you let us know.
Yeah, thank you.
Bacon and eggs?
Now you're teasing.
No, I don't think he was teasing. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network Firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Network Firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot. Hey, it's Sheila Gale from 12-Step Talk Uncensored. Saturdays from 4 to 5 p.m. Listen as we deal with life-changing issues that affect all of us. Our fears, passions, anger, addictions, the law of attraction, and how we change ourselves so we can live an extraordinary life. Join me, Sheila Gale, as we share tools for change that work. 12-Step Talk Uncensored, Life 105. Saturdays 4 to 5, brought to you by Sun Street Centers with education, prevention, and treatment for alcohol and drug addiction.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We're talking military and veterans issues with Scott Dick, our official contributor on military and veterans issues here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can call in right now and join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And we're joined by Laird from Eureka. Welcome, Laird. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Afternoon, Scott.
Hi, Laird.
Didn't this issue come up once before with the infamous pots and pans thing in Fallujah? About the contractors and who they actually work for and who's responsible.
Well, Laird, it did, because it was a few months back, it may have been even as far back as the spring, that we discussed this issue with an attorney from San Diego who is representing some of the family members of those four contractors who were killed in Fallujah. And then, of course, their bodies were mutilated and strung up on a bridge. It was a very disgusting ordeal. And what was interesting from what the attorney told us is, and it revolves around these same issues, as to what is the legal status of those working for Blackwater in the war zone in Iraq. And the Blackwater attorneys are doing two things. One is they are attempting to say that because these individuals were independent contractors, that Blackwater essentially has no responsibility for the errant mission that they were sent on. If you remember, you referenced pots and pans. They were delivering non-essential kitchen equipment to some location.
They were picking it up, weren't they?
Is that right? Picking it up?
They were.
Yeah.
Because at the time, my question was, how many pots and pans can they get in the back of a couple of Broncos?
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
So the attorney told us that he felt that Blackwater was trying to use this as a way to insulate them, to reduce their liability for wrongful death suits from family members of these four individuals who were killed. And the other thing that he told us was that Blackwater was countersuing the survivors of these four workers, employees, contractors in Iraq, and that they were essentially attempting to use their clout and their deep pockets to make it extremely expensive for these family members to conduct a lawsuit and continue the expensive process when they were facing the prospect of another lawsuit from Blackwater, essentially claiming that their attempt to get money damages from Blackwater was a frivolous lawsuit, and therefore, they should be penalized for it. It's just an ugly set of legal issues, and Blackwater is attempting to use the law in a manner that I would describe as double dealing. On the one hand, to recruit people and get them to work under terms and conditions that are really subhuman. Scott, do you have a comment?
Yeah, I want to jump. Peter, this is this isn't double dealing. This is I think they've employed sort of if the military did this, it'd be fraudulent enlistment. They're telling these guys to sign these contracts, and they put them down in front of them and say, oh, by the way, you're an independent contractor, and whatever happens to you, whatever happens in Iraq stays in Iraq. And it just popped into my brain, Peter. This is what I would love to see the actual contract the State Department wrote with Blackwater. I bet you $100 it's the same as the one that DynCorp has, and it's the same one that the other group, Nelson Umbrella or something, whatever they call it.
Triple Canopy.
Yeah, I knew it was something like an umbrella. That it doesn't specifically say you're going to ride shotgun. It says you're going to guard embassy assets to the direction of the security officer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one who put him on convoys. And what those four guys were sent in to do was to escort a truck, a convoy carrying pots and pans. And they made all sorts of promises about gun jeeps and all that kind of thing. They didn't get a third of what they were promised.
Well, that's an interesting thing, Scott. If they were subcontractors, then they were responsible for having three men in each vehicle, et cetera. So Blackwater could then sue them for not living up to their terms of the contract.
The whole point of this is that as a subcontractor, the only thing the contracting officer, as a contractor or a subcontractor, the only thing the contracting officer can do, because he can't personally supervise you, is to tell you the what and when. For example, I was a contractor working for computers in a hospital, Navy hospital. They couldn't tell me, go over to this office and do this and do this and come back and report that. They gave me tickets. When I did them, and what equipment I used and how I did it was really none of the business. And frankly, most of the time they didn't ask unless they wanted the solution to pass on to other workers.
Well, and
so
Scott, an independent contractor is supposed to set his or her own schedule, determine where they work, and provide their own tools.
Right.
And so the tools are weapons and ammo in Iraq, and we have no indication that the mercenaries working for Blackwater bought their own guns and ammo.
I'm sure this was a deal to make a personal security detail for around the embassy and to flush out the embassy security, just like we have on our Fort Ord out of Monterey County, where those are our private security guards that guard the base. But they don't run convoys. They're not supervised by, they have a contracting officer, and that's completely different than what they're doing in Iraq in a war zone. So it's not double dealing, Peter. I think it's much more perverse and actually downright evil. You got your own troops. You recruited. He said, remember he said, I recruit them. I train them. I do the best I can. Then I send them. They become employees. No, he didn't. He sent these kids into harm's way, and they were killed within, what was it, a couple of hours after they were deployed.
Yeah.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks, Scott.
All right, Laird, thank you for the call today. Appreciate it. 888-5 Peter B., if you'd like to join the conversation. And up next, it's Carl Young in Fortuna. Carl, good to have you on the program today.
Well, thank you very much. And, boy, what a great bit of conversation you guys had today about a number of things that are going on with our fabulous contractors taking care of DOD mission areas. I sent you down an email not too long ago about an article I wrote up here concerning the VA's new two-tier system for delivering health care and benefits to our veterans. As you know, the Iraqi war vets, and God bless them all for everything they've done, have been put at the head of the line of all other veterans. So some of us out here that are 100% service-connected, Vietnam types and Korea and World War II and all that good stuff are coming in second place here all of a sudden.
Well, explain what's going on, Carl.
Well, basically, there was a directive that came out from Vice Admiral Daniel L. Cooper, who's the Undersecretary of Benefits in the Department of Veterans Affairs, which was an internal directive that instructs the department's employees to prioritize veterans of the global war and terror over World War I veterans to the first Gulf War veterans. The directive told VA employees to put all Operation Enduring Freedom and Iraqi Freedom veterans at the head of the line when processing claims for medical treatment, vocational rehabilitation, employment, education benefits. And my question is, why is this happening? Obviously it's a money thing. Hey, we can't afford to hire more staff. We can't afford to take care of all these backlog of claims. And boy, when it's come to the VA, it's always been sort of first come, first serve. And, if you're in really bad shape, we'll put you at the head of the line. And now just because of our virtue of past military service, we're at the back of the line.
Now, Scott, have you seen this happen before where the VA prioritizes the delivery of service and essentially downgrades older veterans?
No, but I can tell you why, Peter. I'm speculating because it's a political deal. Congress is on. The Bush administration has a credibility problem. They say they support the troops. Then we find out they're putting the vets of Iraq and Afghanistan in really abominable conditions. But here I'm just looking at this. And Carl, I think this may explain it. The VA is 400,000 claims behind just on these new veterans. And so it makes sense to say, it makes sense that they call this big hand little map syndrome, Peter, where you just wave your hand over a map and say, it shall be done. Somebody did the big hand little map thing and said, fix this. So here, he's going to write a memorandum and say, okay, we're going to fix all these young guys, and the other guys can just wait. And not knowing that there's some humans behind all these numbers. And it's typical. They say, they claim they support the troops and the veterans and retirees, but once again, this shows that the, just like them fighting the 5% difference in the pay raise.
No, it's a half percent.
I mean, half percent pay raise. It's the same thing. It's they want to hike TRICARE fees for retirees younger than 65. They want to do, you know, and then they say, we support the troops. No, they don't. It's a lie. And this is just another case of the big hand, little map. We don't really care. Get rid of the problem so it goes away as a political problem for us and affects our credibility with the American people. It's infuriating, actually.
Carl, anything you want to add on that?
Well, you know, I think if, you know, the VA would have came to a lot of us veterans that we would have said, yeah, go ahead. You know, I don't mind waiting a little bit longer because I know you guys really need the help and things like that. But they didn't. They just, you know, just bumped us. And I find it very, very insulting. Another thing, too, is when you sign up for the VA health care program, there's a questionnaire they go through, one for all the vets except for the Iraqi vets and the Afghanistan vets, and one for the new guys. And on the new guys, they're asking about traumatic brain injury, you know, some of the things that exposures you may have had to it, some of the things that may have happened to you, some of the symptoms that you may be suffering, without any regard of saying, hey, wait a minute, maybe we should be asking the vets of previous wars if they had been exposed to many of these things that bring on traumatic brain injuries. And so we're a little miffed on the fact that, hey, wait a minute, we're glad to see our new guys getting this care finally. They spent a lot of money on research and development and saving a lot of lives that they, you know, obviously weren't able to save during previous wars. And, of course, the side effect of that, some of these guys are in such great helmets that their brains just get splattered when they get, you know, into a bad situation. But with us, you know, a lot of us were exposed to RPGs. I served on board a destroyer for a long time over in Vietnam, and I slept underneath a 5-inch 38 barrel, you know, going off all the time with a lot of shaking. But, you know, it's not just me. It's a lot of us are going like, you know.
Well, let me ask you this, Carl. Let's take PTSD as an example.
Okay.
There does appear to be a stronger effort to address PTSD issues, and that's not to say that the military is doing everything right in terms of the health care for returning vets.
Right.
But is that a matter of a lesson learned from Vietnam-era vets, or is this a case of a double standard?
I think it's a lesson learned. Plus, we've insulted the dickens out of the administration and every congressman that's gotten in our way about, well, how dare you not provide this type of care. I think Iraqi and Afghanistan war veterans right now are so aware now that there is treatment available out there for them. The VA was actually in a downsizing mode when this whole thing started, and they've had to quickly upsize. We've seen folks.
Hey, Carl, can I jump in here for a second?
Yeah.
I think you guys are both wrong. I think the reason that they're studying PTSD is, Peter and Carl, because they're sending these troops back second and third and fourth times, and they don't want them blown up in their own organizations. I don't think it has anything to do with post-service care. I think it has to do with a more cynical view is that, hey, we need these guys in one piece or at least some kind of piece to get them through another deployment. Then when they come back and they have PTSD, we can kick them out with a prior service disability, pre-existing condition.
Yeah.
Well,
Scott, I think your cynical take is probably more accurate than mine. I'll yield on that. Go ahead, Carl.
I'll partially yield and say that, yes, these guys have a lot more opportunity for a lot of exposure to these types of situations that are going to bring it on, and no one out there is just saying that these guys are not suffering, because they are, and they're going to be suffering longer, and they're going to be more of them, and that's obviously very reflective with their disability claims with the VA right now, to the point where the VA is, with this new Chalala Commission thing that and Dole that came out there about reevaluation of all disabilities every 3 years, you know, for the new guys coming out,
yeah,
which is, you know, and yet they're 400,000 to 600,000 claims behind right now, just doing the initial ones.
Yep.
You know, and it's just like, you know, any way they can turn the quick screws on the new guys and the old guys. And what I find really disgusting about the whole thing is this.
is that we have an administration here that's actually trying to divide veterans.
Well, that's a very important point, Carl. Go ahead, Scott.
Separate and conquer. They're talking about the VA projecting $7 billion over 10 years, and that's not counting the number. That's just the bare bones.
Yeah.
And already 35% of separated veterans have applied for VA medical care. So it's going to be a big bomb, and it's going to go off in three, four administrations from now.
Carl, I've got to run to a break here, but take a moment here to tell us about the first annual Homeless Connect Day tomorrow in Humboldt County.
You know, the Salvation Army is working with that. That is sort of a nationwide program. It's geared towards all homeless, which is fantastic. And its roots, I think, were back east, but they are you know, they've got a program together with one of the federal agencies. I just don't remember the name of it right now. They're just going to have some three meals there, sit down, see how folks are doing, and they're giving it a heck of a try up here in Solano County. I mean, in Solano County, in Humboldt County.
And I have the information here. It's from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Christ Episcopal Church in Eureka, and that is going on Friday, October the 26th.
Yes, and we're expecting to see some vets up there, but we're also really glad to see that we've got volunteers and concerned folks out here that are really stepping out and saying, hey, we want to do something about what's going on.
Carl, appreciate what you're doing. Thanks for the call today.
You too. Have a good day.
All right. Scott Dix, stay with us. We'll continue in just a moment after a quick break here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Pacific Grove's Joe Rombi has turned his attention to pizza. Central Coast residents and visitors can now enjoy the finest pizza this side of Italy. Whether you crave the elegant simplicity of a pizza margherita or one of Joe Rombi's signature creations, like the Totally Chipotle, Crazy for Mushrooms, or famous Malrose, you'll fall in love with pizza all over again at Joe Rombi's La Piccolo Casa Pizzeria, next door to Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina on 17th Street in Pacific Grove. And with the holiday season approaching, if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina, with accommodations for groups of any size from 10 to 60. So for great dinners or private parties, it's Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina, next door to Joe Rombi's La Piccolo Casa Pizzeria. Click on joerombi.com or call 831-373-2416. Or for pizza, call 373-0129.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Well, there it is. The traffic sounder is on, so that means we got to do traffic. Got a report of some very slow traffic right now. We're going to tell you all about it. It's on northbound Highway 1. Heavy traffic from Carmel to Pacific Grove. And then it's more slow-and-go stuff all the way into Monterey. And for no unknown reason, no crashes reported there, but just the fact that we do have heavy traffic in the area. Also looking at a problem in King City, Highway 198 at 101, two-vehicle crash on the shoulder, still being reported there. Looking at Carmel, northbound 1 between, let's tell you about another problem before we get there. Rio Del Mar, southbound 1 after Freedom Boulevard, we have an injury crash. This is a motorcyclist down between the two left lanes. Traffic is extremely slow from Highway 17. What I can also tell you is we do have paramedics and a fire department crews along with CHP on scene. Another injury crash, fire crews on scene, Boulder Creek. It's Highway 236 and Highway 9.
It's It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 8 minutes in front of the hour. We continue our visit with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. And at the moment, the road to hell runs southward from the Turkish border into northern Iraq. And at the moment, the road to hell runs southward from the Turkish border into northern Iraq. Turkish warplanes and helicopters attacked the broad mountain passes there in northern Iraq on Wednesday.
This ain't no technological breakdown. Oh no, this is the road to hell.
So, Scott Dick, this is quite a quandary for the Bush administration, one that I predicted before we invaded Iraq back in 2003. And that is that the Kurdish people who populate the north...
up there, and the Turks are like, hey, one Kurd is another Kurd, boom, and now let the Turks, our ally, take out our best troops, the best... You know, those are the troops that we, once they stood up, we would stand down, hama, hama, blah, blah. Oh, by the way, I love this. McCain is trying to already paint, you know, these Republican rats are deserting the ship. Now they're calling it the Rumsfeld era.
Right.
And they're already moving away from that as fast as they can. So the idea of moving Kurdish troops up there on the border to protect the Kurdish areas from the Turks is just makes me hoot. I mean, it's not even laughable. It could be a tragedy. Our best troops up there killed. We're going to be in Iraq forever, and maybe that's the plan.
Well, and McCain is an interesting character. I mean, his campaign for president is clearly dead in the water, and he refuses to accept that reality. And he got his obligatory 20 or 25 minutes on the PBS NewsHour last week, and he talked about how the surge was his idea, and that now that the surge is working, that he is vindicated, and that everything's just going to be fine. Well, the surge that John McCain proposed, if I recall correctly, was that he wanted a minimum of 60,000 additional troops, and he was advocating for a full 100,000. And Bush put in about 30,000, and he's satisfied with that and is claiming, A, it was his idea, and it's a very effective change in strategy.
Yeah, well, okay. That's one of the... I got it, but I don't see it. Peter, can I say 2 minutes? You can start your stopwatch about Posse Comitatus, because I'm really tired of hearing about this.
Go ahead. We got 2 minutes.
Posse Comitatus was, you know, it was a Reconstruction-era law that was passed by Congress after Lincoln was killed because we used federal troops to arrest local police officers and mayors and that kind of thing as part of Reconstruction. Posse Comitatus does not prohibit deployment of troops. That means I could have never deployed from Colorado Springs to Fort Irwin for training. What it means is to use federal troops as law enforcement in the presence of competent law enforcement officers. You just can't go down and say, oh, by the way, we're taking over your city police. And that's this whole thing about Posse Comitatus. There's so many workarounds to get federal. The forest ranger on Fort Carson, the way they get around to, you know, he can arrest poachers. Why? Because they made him a federal marshal. He's a sworn federal marshal. There's always ways to work around stuff. And this whole idea of moving troops to fight fires. When I was at Colorado Springs, we sent troops to fight fires all the time, and they're not deploying in any kind of law enforcement position. They're going as manual labor. Mm-hmm. They cut ditches and knock down trees, and they work side by side with inmates from the prison. So the idea that they're being used in any kind of law enforcement is just ridiculous. And that gets, when I hear that, I think, no, we need those troops on the fire line because our National Guardsmen are in Iraq.
Okay, but in 20 seconds, if there had been riots or looting in San Diego and troops had been sent in place of either National Guard or local gendarmes, would that be legal under Posse Comitatus?
That's a tough one. If they're working in concert with the local police, I think so. And if they were supplementing local police, or what happens if there's an absence of no police or law enforcement whatsoever? Then there has got to be some mechanism, some emergency power that we can use to protect.
All right. Well, look, the posse's here, and I got to go. Scott Dick, thank you very much.
It's always a pleasure, Peter.
We'll talk again soon. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Visit our website at peterbcollins.com.
If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The death toll in the Southern California wildfires just rose again. Authorities in San Diego County say four charred bodies have been found at what was believed to be a migrant camp near the Mexican border. Earlier, the bodies of an elderly couple who refused to evacuate were found at what's left of their home near Poway. Some evacuees were allowed back today to retrieve belongings, but officers didn't let them stay long.
All right, folks. Hello. Well, we need to move. We got a big group today.
President Bush visited fire scenes today. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer has that.
After touring part of this wide disaster zone, President Bush brushed aside comparisons between the botched federal response to Hurricane Katrina and the California wildfires.
I'm thinking about people whose lives turned upside down. The experts can try to figure out whether the response was perfect or not.
But Mr. Bush was determined to put that response on display here as he was accompanied on the ground and in the air by a crowd of disaster relief officials and military officers. While the president dodged comparisons, his Homeland Security advisor said the response is better and faster than the federal reaction to Katrina. Peter Mayer, CBS News, San Diego.
Putting the president on the spot, the House has passed another S-CHIP children's health insurance bill.
Democrats tweaked the bill a bit, limiting income of recipients, dropping adults off the rolls, but still got 43 Republican votes, about the same as last time. Democratic leader Steny Hoyer hoped for more.
Let us give yes for an answer to Americans' children. Vote for this bill.
Republican Roy Blunt said it was a waste of time.
Here we are again. It seems to be just the same act in the same play.
But Democrats know how popular children's health care is and are politically happy to have President Bush veto it again. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Charles Rangel has unveiled a major tax overhaul plan.
We have attempted to restore equity and fairness to the system.
The proposal would eliminate the alternative minimum tax and shift more of the tax burden to some businesses and to the very rich. Rangel claims 91 million families would get tax relief. But House Republican leader John Boehner says it would doom the economy and put people out of work.
Republicans want to work with Democrats to solve the problem of the alternative minimum tax. And we can work together to solve this problem without having the mother of all tax hikes.
Rangel says it's not raising taxes, it's restructuring rates. BP has agreed to a huge settlement with the government, including a $50 million fine for its Texas City refinery explosion 2 years ago.
It's the largest Clean Air Act criminal fine ever imposed.
Assistant Attorney General Ron Tempest. BP will also pay more than $300 million to settle charges it schemed to inflate the price of propane and violated the Clean Water Act when it spilled crude oil in Alaska. On Wall Street, the Dow down 3 points today. The price of oil rose more than $3 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Die Hard presents Under the Hood with Positive and Negative.
Man, it's cold. Are we parked inside of a glacier?
It's brisk. I kind of like it.
I'm freezing my bolts off.
Well, good thing we're a powerful Die Hard battery. We're built to start on cold days.
And can we start now? I've got icicles hanging off of my beard.
Yeah, beardsicle.
For reliable starting power when you need it most, choose Die Hard Automotive Battery. Get yours installed at Sears Auto Centers. For locations near you, visit Sears.com.
There are certain things in life people just don't want to do, like meeting a girlfriend's overprotective father, helping someone move, or eating week-old sushi. Well, now you can take shopping for car insurance off that list. No more searching for the best rates. Just make your first stop, Progressive.com, and you'll get all the information you need to make the right decision.
Go to Progressive.com to get our rates and in most cases other leading companies. It's the fastest way to save hundreds.
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates may fail Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Game 2 of the World Series is about to begin in Boston. CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan is there.
It's a key night for the Colorado Rockies. Stung by last night's 13-1 thrashing at the hands of the Red Sox, they can change the momentum with a win before the series shifts back to Denver for the next three games. Boston fans hope a Sox victory puts their team in the driver's seat.
It's going to be a good time tonight. It's going to be crazy. But to me, I think it's going to be a close game, but the Sox should, if they take two, it's going to be going back to Colorado. It's going to be tough to beat, you know, tough to beat the Sox.
It should be a sea of small red signs tonight at Fenway. They're being passed out free to everyone entering here. Steve Kathan, CBS News, Fenway Park, Boston.
Throwing out the first pitch tonight is 13-year-old Andrew Madden of Odessa, Texas. When Andrew had a heart transplant last month, he and his surgeon discovered a mutual love for the Red Sox. A charity flew them to Boston. The Red Sox gave them a box to watch the game, and Andrew got to meet their mascot, Wally the Green Monster. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
There's nothing small about today's small business. Big hours make up big work weeks. Every meeting is a big meeting. Every call is a big call. When the only printer for all the computers breaks down, it's a big problem. And now, thanks to Aflac, even small business insurance has gone big. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. Now, your small business can have the same great Aflac products and service the big guys get. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or visit aflacsb.com.
Aflac!
For small business, American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
TGI Fridays Restaurants presents Food for Thought. Know this, your taste buds have feelings, so give them Friday's three-course meal for $12.99 and choose your appetizer, entree, and dessert. Now with our new sweet and savory Asian garlic chicken. So come in for Friday's $12.99 three-course meal for a limited time only. It won't last long. And remember, you're not salivating. Those are taste bud tears of joy. Give me more Fridays.
Prices and participation may vary. Limited time only.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. We're opening up the phone lines in the free speech zone.
What fact is in your mind? Not the present or the past. It can happen anywhere, anytime. Bring back the 60s, man.
That's my man, Country Joe, from the People's Republic of Berkeley. And it's not the 60s again, but some of us reminisce about the street actions and the massive demonstrations that did help bring an end to America's involvement in Vietnam. And this Saturday, October 27th, United for Peace and Justice is organizing massive demonstrations in 11 cities, and you can add to that with your own inventive, resourceful action, but 11 cities across the United States. Leslie Kagan is the National Coordinator for United for Peace and Justice. Leslie, welcome to our show today.
Hi, good to be here.
How are you doing?
Okay, getting ready for the weekend.
Yeah, you're counting down. Give us a sense of the preparations and the scope that you hope to see in terms of turnout and participation in this weekend demonstration.
Well, this is, of course, a tremendous undertaking. What we know is that, and everybody knows it, that there is tremendous opposition to the war in literally every corner of the country. So our coalition, which is a very large national grassroots coalition, felt that it would be important to try and bring that anti-war sentiment that we know is out there out into the public light. And that one way to do that, and I must say this is a little bit of an experiment, we've never done this before, is to organize on the same day regional demonstrations. So really what's been happening is that the heart and soul of the organizing is done in the regions by the local groups, by the local committees, by the local coalitions, and then we provide a national structure and weave it all together. So as you said, we have 11 sites around the country, East Coast, middle of the country, West Coast, and throughout the day people will be marching and rallying, and the particulars will vary a little bit from city to city, but the themes will be the same, and that is we want this war in Iraq to end, we want the occupation to end, we want all the troops to come home, and we want that to happen now. We're also going to be raising the call for our tax dollars instead of going into this war and this seemingly endless war in Iraq. We want our tax dollars used to rebuild our own communities, rebuild the Gulf Coast and New Orleans. Now, obviously, tremendous aid is going to have to go into the people of Southern California who've been hit by these horrible fires. That's what our tax dollars should be used for, not for endless war. So that's another issue that's going to be surfaced in all of these 11 demonstrations.
And the national website is at octoct27.org for October 27. That's octoct27.org. Boston, Chicago, Los Angeles, New York, New Orleans, Orlando, Philadelphia, Salt Lake City, San Francisco, Seattle, and Jonesboro.
Yes.
That's a surprise. What's
Jonesboro,
going?
We have to say Tennessee, because a lot of people don't know where it is.
Well, I was thinking Arkansas, I'll confess.
So we agreed to do it because a lot of folks in the South, a lot of our groups down there, wanted to do it in Jonesboro, because in Jonesboro, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting the name of the company right now, but one of the companies that's the largest producer of weapons that use depleted uranium is in Jonesboro.
Uh-huh.
So people thought that would be an appropriate reason to have the demonstration there. And actually, if you look at a map, Jonesboro is in the northeast corner of Tennessee. It's pretty convenient for Tennessee, for Kentucky, for North Carolina, for West Virginia, you know, for a number of states. So we're hoping, you know, to have a good turnout there.
I pulled up that page, Leslie. It's Aerojet Ordnance.
There you go. Aerojet Ordnance.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as I said, each demonstration has a slightly particular, focus that's particular to its own region. So that's the focus there in Jonesboro. But we thought it was important to include a place like that because I think so often people think that, well, of course New York and of course San Francisco would have an anti-war demonstration in Los Angeles. So we thought it was very important in this day of national action to include some places like Jonesboro, like Orlando, Florida, where you don't usually see big demonstrations. I can't predict numbers. One, I learned that a long time ago. It's virtually impossible, but the organizing has been up and running for weeks now, and people are feeling very optimistic that there'll be significant turnout in all the cities.
And whatever the turnout is, the media will give it short shrift and identify the crowds at about 10%, or maybe maybe 20% if they're feeling really generous.
Well, that's a big problem that we have, that the mainstream media, for the most part, there are a few exceptions, individual reporters who try and tell the story honestly, but for the most part, the story just simply doesn't get told. The story about what's really going on in Iraq, and that we see more and more, but the story about the anti-war movement in this country. So we hope to break into the media. Each time we do a big demonstration, we hope the media will be there and cover it honestly. But just as importantly, we hope that the people who come to the demonstration are energized and inspired to keep doing this work. This war has gone on way too long, and yet there is no end in sight. So we need to keep inspiring each other, keep motivating each other to not give up. If we're not there, then there's no voice speaking out against the war, and we have to be that voice. And our numbers continue to grow.
That's the voice of Leslie Kagan, National Coordinator for United for Peace and Justice. Again, the website is octoct27.org, where you can get more information on a protest activity occurring somewhere near you. And, Leslie, you issued a statement today regarding the U.S. posture toward Iran and acknowledging that Secretary of State Rice announced new sanctions against Iran related to our desire to prevent them from developing a nuclear weapon.
Right. Well, we're very concerned that the Bush administration is a little too trigger-happy, a little too willing to go to war when there might be other options available. You know, we learned, that as the people of this country learned the hard way, that the Bush administration lied. There were several lies they put out there that dragged us, that was the basis for dragging this country into war in Iraq. Are we hearing another set of lies now about Iran? And the situation with Iran, you know, not to diminish how horrible the war and the occupation in Iraq is, if in fact we, that is our government, were to launch a military assault or an attack on Iran, the situation would be even worse than what has happened in Iraq. So, you know, this is a very, very dangerous situation, and we have got to speak out. We want this war in Iraq to end, and we don't want a new war to begin in Iran.
Also, Progressive Democrats of America issued a statement today that they will announce a 7-point agenda at the Washington demonstration this weekend. And it's a fairly simple one. Number one, end imperial foreign policy, redirect funding. Number two, health care for all. Three, economic justice. Four, stop global warming. Five, reproductive freedom, civil rights, and civil liberties. Six, clean, fair, and transparent elections. And seven, media reform. I know every one of us could add other elements to that, but this is a core agenda that I think most progressives can agree on and build consensus for.
Right. Now, we think this is a very positive initiative. And after this weekend is over, United for Peace and Justice as a national coalition is going to have another round of conversation within our ranks about how we do, how we build on that kind of agenda. How do we project that during the 2008 election year? Because, you know, as important as all the work is that we've been doing, we're now going to enter a new period where not only is there a presidential race well underway already, but the congressional races are going to kick into high gear soon too. That, you know, every seat in the House of Representatives there's an election there, and a third of the Senate gets voted on. So we need to, as an anti-war movement, as a progressive social justice, economic justice movement, we need to be clear that our voice is heard throughout this election year.
Leslie Kagan, I opened up the segment with a musical sounder from back in the Vietnam era. And recently I saw a powerful documentary that I recommend to people. It's called The Chicago Ten. And we remember the trial of the Chicago 8, Chicago 7, after Bobby Seale was pulled out of that trial against his will. But the makers of this documentary wanted to include the lawyers, Kunstler and Wineglass, so they call it the Chicago 10. Mm-hmm. And it's got powerful historical footage from that era. And I went to school in Chicago shortly after these events took place, so it brought a lot home to me. But what was really powerful was the way that people gathered and coalesced in large numbers. And while the police state was fierce and something truly to be feared, they held up with great courage. And we don't seem to be able to find some of those same elements, and particularly broad-based support for these kinds of protests. And I've been disappointed by the turnout in recently staged events over the past 2 years. How are we going to turn that around? And are you hopeful that this weekend's 11-city efforts will produce a more substantial response?
Well, I should say that the heart and soul of this movement, and any movement really, is what people are doing day in and day out in their own communities, at their workplaces, in their religious institutions, where they go to school. And that doesn't get into the mainstream media. That doesn't get known, you know, beyond the community that you're working in. But every single day, people are demonstrating, people are holding educational forums, people are pressuring Congress. You know, that work goes on unabated. And I should say that periodically we do have large demonstrations. In January of this year, January 27th, just a few weeks into the beginning of the new Congress that was elected last year, mm-hmm. with a very clear mandate to end the war, we brought 300,000 people onto the streets of Washington. That's a significant turnout. And yet, because it didn't get the banner headlines in the New York Times or the first story on CBS News, people think it didn't happen, or people don't know that it happened.
Yeah.
So that's a serious problem. We, in 4.5 years, no less than 8 times, We have had demonstration with at least 100,000 people. Several have been 250,000 to 300,000. And we've had at least two that had 500,000 or more. So it's not as if we're not an active movement. The question is, who knows about what we're doing? How do we get the word out? And of course, how do we keep building? How do we keep bringing new folks in? With 70% of the population of this country opposing the war, we know there's room for growth in our movement. And we hope, we invite, if you're out there listening to this, if you're one of those 70% who opposes this war but have not yet been to a march, this Saturday is the time for you. Go to that website, OCT27.org, and find the demonstration closest to you and go there and make your voice heard and be counted.
Leslie Kagan, thanks for your passion and your persistence.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk again. That's Leslie Kagan from United for Peace and Justice. Next, we take your phone calls in the Free Speech Zone. You can comment on this or any other issue. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. That's 1-888-573-8372. Call me here at the Peter B. Collins Show.
Commentary and your phone call. If it's 40 AM radio, KRXA.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year, and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in
North Plains. Traffic is being diverted off of the freeway at Freedom Boulevard, and I can also tell you that the Freedom Boulevard on-ramp to southbound 1 has been closed. Again, Freedom Boulevard on-ramp to southbound 1 closed. Traffic is extremely slow from Highway 17 at this point.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're taking your calls in the Free Speech Zone. Lines open right now at 888-5-PETER-B. You can comment on the Blackwater issue about their tax status and whether they're faking it by calling their workers in Iraq independent contractors. We also talked with Faz Shakir about Dianne Feinstein's shocking support of a Republican or very right-wing and a conservative nominee for a lifetime appointment on the federal court. And some sort of horse trading went on there, and we're the losers. We also, of course, talked about the California wildfires and response to it. And we talked about the press and the First Amendment with Dean Jeffrey Stone from the law school at the University of Chicago. And I have an extra copy of Dean Stone's book called Top Secret. So for the first virgin caller to the program this hour, that's someone who's never called before, if you ask for it, I'll give you a copy of the book. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And today, Thursday, in Washington, the Democrats tried again to come up with a veto-proof vote on the S-CHIP bill. They made a few changes, but it didn't really change the outcome very much. The vote was 265 to 142, which is not veto-proof. That's about 20 votes shy of overriding a veto. 43 Republicans joined 220 Democrats to support this measure. And it still is not enough to overcome the threatened presidential veto. There are a couple of vote switches by Republicans, but not enough to make a difference there. And that, of course, is quite disappointing. To your calls now, John in Carmel Valley's up first. Hello, John.
Hello, Peter. I found in a year-old copy of the Sierra Club Bulletin, I think, one of the best descriptions of the dilemma we all face regarding global warming. It was an editorial by their executive director, Carl Pope.
Mm-hmm.
And I love his title, The Devil's in the Retail, A Cult of Consumerism is Sweeping the Planet. And he describes attending a major ecumenical interfaith conclave in San Francisco, and he says about it, these visionary leaders were grappling with a fundamental spiritual crisis that challenges all the world's faith. It is, they said, as though a sinister new religion were sweeping the earth. Its God is mammon, its temples, shopping malls, and its altars constructed of dollars, euros, yen, and rupees. As for its teaching, they consist of a sole commandment, buy more. In the struggle against this consumerist creed, warned one speaker, time is not on our side. The message struck home because the same old sins that challenge religion, greed, pride, and gluttony are also at the root of the environmental crisis. While we scramble to gain critical knowledge about how we affect the natural world, its systems are changing before our eyes. Meanwhile, our resources are limited, our technology imperfect, and we don't even agree on what it is we value, wilderness or comfort, an easy life for us or an intact world for our children. We broadly agree, rhetorically at least, that we should be on a path to sustainability, yet instead we are on a path to disaster. And it gets more eloquent, I think, as it progresses, but he really hits the nail on the head, I think.
Mm-hmm. Very well put. I think it's very well expressed, and I agree with his sentiments. Got to run to a break here, John.
Okay.
Appreciate the call. And, boy, he's been reading all those old magazines, Rolling Stone, Sierra Club. He's got quite a collection there. We're going to take more of your calls. Join this conversation toll-free. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Yes, as the pronouncer told you, this is the Peter B. Collins Show. We are knee-deep in the free speech zone, and lines are available for your phone calls. 888-5-PETER-B. That's our toll-free number. You dial 1-888-573-8372. And some sports fans are diverted to a World Series game or something like that. And that means that if you've never called the program, here is your perfect opportunity. We've got lines available. It'll be a short wait on hold. And some of the gas bags are, you know, watching the series. And I've got a copy of the book Top Secret for the first-time caller who checks in with us during this half hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's Top Secret by Jeffrey Stone, who was a guest on our program earlier today. Up next, we go to Roseville, where Rich is listening on 1240 Talk City, KSAC. Hello, Rich.
Hey, Peter. Glad to take my call.
Oh,
hey,
there you go.
I enlisted in the Air Force in 73, early 73, in the tail end of Vietnam. And my first enlistment, I was sent to a remote site in Turkey, close to the Kurdish area.
Oh, really?
By the way, the Turkish people are wonderful people.
Yes, they are. I've been a tourist in Turkey, and I really enjoyed it. The combination.
I was all over that country, and they just treated us wonderful at that time.
The ancient sites there are fascinating. Go ahead.
I headed up a team. My official duty title was custody agent, and I was in charge of a team of highly trained, armed individuals in charge of security of enough, we'll call it special ammunition storage, to wipe out the whole west coast of the United States as we know it now. And it was height of the Cold War and also during the little Cyprus crisis going on.
Oh, yeah.
And my son was 9 months old the first time I ever met him because I was remote. And, responsible for all of that. But yet in California, when I got back, I was eligible for food stamps with how much I was being paid by the United States Air Force.
Sure.
As part of the DOD, which at that time stood for Department of Defense, not the Department of Let's Go Bomb the Crap Anybody That Doesn't Agree With It. that really pisses me off, because it's not no longer the DOD, that I volunteered for. And I spent...
Well, we should go back to the... We should revert to the original name. It's the Department of War.
I spent 20 years, 3 months, and 8 days, and retired as, with multiple decorations and everything. And at the height of my military career, I made less money than I do now in deduction. And yet, these Blackwater idiots that aren't trained and aren't accountable to the Uniform Code of Military Justice military justice, and I still have a copy of on my bookshelf, which, by the way, the whole first section of is the Constitution of the United States. They're not accountable to anything. They're not as trained as we were, and they make six figures. When I had guys working for me with a family of four that could get a couple hundred dollars of food stamps every month to feed their family.
Right.
That's not taking care of our troops. That's wasting our tax dollars on a bunch of idiots that aren't accountable to anybody.
It also appears to, as Scott Dick told us, to violate the law in several ways because they are performing duties that could be performed by uniformed American service members or authorized officers of the State Department. And instead, they are going around those regs and using these Blackwater contractors. And so
they're the tax laws on top of it.
Well, and that's what Scott Dick originally brought to our attention. And now Congressman Waxman is investigating that. The IRS has already declared that Blackwater is in violation of their rules related to independent contractors. And so this is going to be very interesting to see how it plays out. And just maybe the Bush administration will demand amnesty like it has for the phone companies who participated in their illegal eavesdropping programs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just wanted to make that comment. I don't think the general public is aware of how little the GIs make and how little we take care of them. I have to wait 6 months to get an appointment to take care of my hearing aid, and I'm a documented disabled vet.
Yeah.
You know, but yet these guys are making six figures.
So yep.
I enjoy your show. Listen to you all the time. First time caller, and I hope to call again sometime.
All right. I hope you will, Rich. I really appreciate it. Thank you for dialing our way today. 888-5 Peter B. Join this conversation toll free. 888-573-8372. I get routine emails of copies of letters to the editor that are written by a guy who I've never met. Don't know that I've ever talked to him. His name is Mark Perkle, and he writes pithy, brief letters to the editor. Here's his latest. A lot of people like to ridicule people who live on the left coast, but perhaps the response to the San Diego wildfires will change their minds about us. Although people like to think of Californians as a bunch of pot-smoking hippies, I think we have shown the nation how to properly respond to a disaster. We didn't wait around for the federal government to come bail us out. We were prepared. With almost no warning, almost a million people were moved out of harm's way. Everyone helped each other out. At Qualcomm Stadium, they had yoga, meditation, food, water, supplies, grief counselors, insurance adjusters, classes for the kids, and even the dogs got along. People worked with police and fire personnel, and everyone took care of everyone else. I think those who would call us names and look down on us might have something to learn about who we are and how we respond to emergencies. And he always signs it, I'm Mark Perkle, and I approved this message. Well, I approve of your approved message, Mark, and make sure Glenn Beck gets a copy of that, will you? Journalist R.J. Shulman joins us now. He is the crack or cracked reporter at the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch, and you can read his work for yourself at p-t-s-d.blogspot.com. That's post-times-sun-dispatch.blogspot.com. RJ, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show, Peter B.
Well, I'm intrigued by your lead story. This is a quick turnaround because I think that the tail of Air Force One has just been seen fading into the distance there in Southern California, and you've already got an exclusive report on the president's visit to the wildfire disaster zone.
That is correct, Peter B.
How do you operate so quickly?
Well, we have a crack reporting staff, a crack reporter, actually, and that's myself.
Yeah.
And, I just have learned over the years how to gather the stories that the mainstream media is going to ignore.
Right.
And ignore these stories they do.
So your story is that Bush's visit actually produced more wildfires.
Right. This has not been reported. I thought that CNN was going to pick it up, but they didn't. But this has to do with every time that he would visit a site, more fires seemed to break out. He would start talking, and as soon as that happened, these fires would erupt.
Now, he's not a fire-breathing guy, is he? This isn't some kind of magic trick?
No, I think it had to do with, he would start speaking, and his pants would catch on fire, and that would ignite things that were close to him, like if there was some brush It's just amazing he hasn't burned his own ranch down.
Oh, you tempt me. Give me a second here. And
This isn't really funny. This is a serious story.
Okay, but I have the song that goes along with it. This actually was our official Scooter Libby theme song, and we suspected that he had some flame-proof pants that he wore to those court hearings every day.
That report is correct. Again, this was not covered anywhere, but I think on your show.
Yeah. All right. Now, the second story also relates to the wildfires in Southern California. You report that the president has sent firefighting equipment to New Orleans.
That's right. He didn't want to have this, make the same mistakes that happened with Hurricane Katrina. So he's didn't want to wait all that time to do something. So he immediately sent firefighting equipment to New Orleans.
Uh-huh. And once again, you don't clean up the president's quotes. You have a quote here. Bush pledged today that because of the lessons learned in the Katrina tornado, I will make sure the federal government folks will send some hoses and stuff and people power to New Orleans to fight those fires that are burnicating. In fact, the president continued, we will send a surge of firepower to contain the terrorist flames over there so we won't have to fight them over here. And then I will have General Petraeus make progress reports on the progress. Wow. If that gives us insight into the president's mind, that's really scary, RJ.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's even scarier, and we just found this out, it was after press time, that he plans to build a levee around San Diego.
Really? Now, is that for border protection?
No, I think he wants to make sure that there's not a problem with levees in San Diego, so it won't get flooded.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, another item you have up here is Bush to certify protection of two extinct species. This one, I think, escaped the notice of most people.
Right. I think that they reported incorrectly that when he made that speech in Maryland about wanting to protect a couple of species of fish and birds, that they missed what he was really talking about, and that was protecting the great auk and a fish which is very hard to pronounce called the pycnodont. And after doing some research, I discovered that both of these species are extinct.
Already?
They're extinct already.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know whether he was trying to bring them back to life or not, but he did say that he wanted to be known as the de-extinctor president.
Now, this isn't some kind of Halloween thing or something, is it?
No, this is really true and accurate, and I was there while he was making that speech. But as you know, the mainstream press just cleans things up.
One more, R.J. Shulman. This, again, is something that many people have heard about, that the contractors in Iraq, particularly Halliburton subsidiary KBR, have been overcharging and under-reporting how they spent taxpayer dollars in the war zone. And you've come up with a little-known detail here that I think, once again, escaped the coverage of the corporate media.
That's right, and I'm really surprised this one was missed because this should have made big headlines. And we hear about the problems with Halliburton and Blackwater, but we didn't hear specifics. And actually what they overcharged the federal government for were for cans of whoop-ass.
Oh, really?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, there was one can of whoop-ass that Halliburton had invoiced the government for $3.8 million, and the problem was they couldn't even get the can open.
Really? $3.8 million for one can of whoop-ass?
That's right.
And do you know what brand they use or where they actually acquire this stuff?
I think they got it from China, and I think that was the problem is why they couldn't get it open, because mm-hmm. the can was a lead can.
I see. Very interesting. Well, these are just more examples of stories that you've got an exclusive on because the mainstream media is too lazy or, you know, bought off. I don't know exactly why, but they never quite drill down to your level of accuracy. Thank you, RJ.
Well, thanks a lot, Peter.
RJ Shulman, read all about it. This is a little difficult, but I'll repeat it for you. P-T-S-D. and that stands for Post Times Sun Dispatch, p-t-s-d.blogspot.com. And you can read this powerful reporting for yourself, believe it or not. It's up to you. We're going to take a break and take some more of your phone calls. I hope I don't have to get a can of whoop-ass to persuade you to call. I've got lines open right now, so give me a buzz. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More in a moment, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Rock Roller Real Estate, your number one source for all your real estate needs. This week on the show, meet Jim Ross, president of National Real Estate Academy. Jim has an incredible opportunity going on right now with an elegant high-rise condo in downtown Chicago. If you're looking to build wealth, listen this Sunday at 10 a.m. Rock Roller Real Estate. For more information, call 408-892-3376 or check us out online at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Do you remember UFOs over Monterey Bay? Was it all just a dream? Visit those memories with us this Saturday morning at 11 a.m. on 540 KRXA. Hear eyewitnesses. Take back our power. Get truth and knowledge. Step up to the plate. Take your best shot this Saturday at 11 a.m. Tell us your UFO experiences. Being abducted? Strange things happening? Missing time? Liberate these memories this Saturday. Be bold. Fill in the pieces of one of the strangest puzzles of our time. Together, your chance to blow this phenomenon out of the water with strange encounters of the second time, UFOs over Monterey Bay, second edition. New speakers, new stories, new answers. Your host for UFOs over Monterey Bay, Bob Oliver, 11 a.m. this Saturday on your Progressive Radio Channel 540 KRXA.
Everybody, let's take a look at our last traffic report of the evening as you folks make your way home tonight. We're going to start off with the Los Gatos area, southbound 17, just right, in fact, right at Lark Avenue. We have a two-car fender bender. It is in the center divide area. Big problem in the Rio Del Mar area, southbound 1 after Freedom Boulevard. Southbound 1 after Freedom Boulevard. It's a motorcycle down the roadway. Emergency crews still on scene. They have the left lane blocked at this point. Now, what I can tell you, traffic is getting by in the right lane, and I can also tell you that traffic is extremely slow from Highway 17. Prunedale, northbound or southbound 101 before Crazy Horse Road. We have an injury crash. Two vehicles blocking the left turn lane. Fire department crews, emergency rescue units on scene. Greenfield, Central Avenue, and Elm Avenue. We have a solo vehicle that went off the roadway and into embankment. This report brought to you by Cost Plus World Market. One world.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, and it always works better when I turn on my microphone. I want to dig into the Peter B. Collins tax-deductible music archives and play one for Glenn Beck, who suggested that the wildfires in Southern California are payback for the people in this blue state who hate America.
The God of hellfire, and I bring you fire.
You fought hard and you saved and earned.
Red Hot Rock and Roll from, 1968, I think it was, The Crazy World of Arthur Brown, and that one's called Fire. Jake in Eureka, thanks for your call. You're on the PBC show.
You know, these, hey Peter, you know these Republican racist right-wing blowhards like Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, you know, they all remind me of a bunch of small children who, when they don't get their way, you know, they have to cry about it. And here what we got is very simple. The Republicans are not getting their way now politically in this country. The public has moved to the left. And next year's election, I think it's well known, you know, by most people that the Democrats are probably going to take back the White House along with keeping control of the Congress. So the Republicans are desperate. I mean, look at Ann Coulter going off about how Jews need to be perfected. I know we have Glenn Beck doing his best Pat Robertson imitation.
You read my mind, Jake. That's what I was about to say, is the musings of Pat and Jerry after 9/11, saying that secular humanists and gays and people who want a choice for abortion rights in this country, that they're the ones who caused 9/11. I mean, this stuff is so insulting to the intelligence, even of people, you know, who hate liberals.
Well, of course. I mean, anybody with a brain can't take an idiot like Pat Robertson or Glenn Beck seriously. And speaking of idiots, Rush Limbaugh, you know, that whole commentary about soldiers of being opposed to the Bush administration and the war in Iraq as being phony soldiers, according to Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, it was Media Matters' fault.
Oh, yeah, MediaMatters.org. I suggest everybody go there and listen to the actual audio of Rush Limbaugh's unpatriotic comments. You know, the fact is, all it takes is a majority vote of the members of the House of Representatives, not only to impeach Bush and Cheney, but all it takes a majority to remove Rush Limbaugh from the Armed Forces Radio Network. And Wesley Clark currently has a campaign to do just that. I suggest everyone call your Congress member, let them know you want Rush Limbaugh off of the airwaves, so at least our troops don't have to listen to that while they're in Iraq. Our local right-wing Democrat congressman here, Mike Thompson, he calls himself a blue dog. Really, he's a Bush dog. His phone number is area code 707-269-9595. Give Mike Thompson a call and tell him it's time to give Rush Limbaugh the boot.
All right, Jake, thank you very much. Billy Sunshine of Capitola joins us now. Hi, Billy.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks. Nice to hear from you.
Well, it's lovely to chat with you. You know, it drives me crazy, this talk of left-wing media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, it's like a cult. A cult does that same thing. It sort of says, nobody understands us. They're out to get you. Don't talk to your family. Because there is no left-wing media. To suggest that the New York Times is a left-wing media is ridiculous. You know, they did hold that story about the wiretapping
with
the election.
Mm-hmm.
The Washington Post hasn't been left-wing. I don't know if it ever was, but certainly.
But
with,
Billy.
With the Victoria Tensing articles about letting Scooter go and all that.
Yeah. But see, the myth of the liberal media is an organizing principle.
Exactly.
Of the conservative movement.
Exactly.
Because without that victimization.
Exactly.
They can't organize their troops and get them to realize that they're the victims here, and that's why they've got to fight so hard.
Right. That is the total way in which they operate. That just there, you described it perfectly. So therefore, let's move on to something else.
Go ahead.
That's what I called to say.
Okay.
What else you got?
I'm almost done. That's
yes,
what
are.
I got.
it's been another great week. I'm really sorry that Pete Stark apologized. That's for sure.
Well, you know, me too, because while his comments were a little inflammatory...
Well, the word pleasure isn't really well chosen. I get that. But the point, you know, it said, you know, celebrate childlessness or stubbornness.
Well, the other part of it is that he was working from the Democratic talking points. And their talking points were that the Republicans will not think twice about spending and wasting billions and billions of dollars in the occupation of Iraq, but they won't invest... nominal amount in the health care of our children. That was the theme, and he just got a little tired of the pre-written talking points, and he ad-libbed. That's Pete Stark, and when you turn him loose, that's what you get. I agree that I don't think he should have apologized, and I don't think he really had that much to apologize for.
No, it's an opportunity to hit them even harder is the point. You take this, and when they ask you to apologize, you say, all right, I'll apologize. I apologize for using this word when what I should have said, and then you come up with five better words that are more damning because they're actually more well-chosen. But the Democrats never do that. They don't they don't understand the attack mode that's necessary.
Billy, give a call to Pete Stark's office. Ask for Yoni Cohen. Yoni's a guy, and Yoni's the press secretary to Pete Stark. I think your suggestion is something he ought to hear.
Okay, buddy.
All right, thank you for the call. Diane in Phoenix, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Hi, Peter. I don't get to listen to you every day anymore, but I do love to have the opportunity.
Well, I'm glad you dialed
it. I just want to know if anybody else is alarmed as I am about all of these police shootings, brutality towards the populace. The shooting out in California, the guy, they thought maybe he was an arsonist. What is going on? I mean, where are we safe anymore? Or am I just being an alarmist?
Well, Diane, I know about the story, but I haven't seen any investigation or the details on that particular situation. So I'll withhold judgment on that particular case. But we do have a situation of trigger-happy cops. And it's also fair to say that some police officers feel that they're under siege, and that in some cases, if you're on gang turf or dealing with organized drug gangs, you're facing people who have more firepower than you do. But that's not an excuse for a situation in a disaster zone. And again, I will investigate further before I offer an opinion on that particular case. But I share your concern that police sometimes shoot first and ask the questions later. Thanks for checking in from Phoenix. I miss you folks there. I've got to run because Trigger's here, saddled up, ready to take me off into the sunset.
Happy trails to you.
We'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same stations, for another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show.
Happy trails.
If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Some of the California wildfires are still burning out of control, and the death toll is rising. KNX Radio's Tom Riopelle tells us authorities in San Diego County discovered four bodies today.
The four bodies were found in the East County mountains of San Diego, and they were burned beyond recognition. The medical examiner is saying that all four are believed to be illegal immigrants. They were found near Barrett Junction, which is in the East County mountains, about 40 miles east of San Diego. Now, they were located in an area where the medical examiner says is known to be a migrant camp and near a main corridor where people cross the border from New Mexico into the U.S.
President Bush flew cross-country to visit the region today.
It's important for me to come out here and see firsthand the situation. And there's no question a lot of people are suffering. And no question there's been terrible losses.
He surveyed the scene from the air and on the ground and promised fire victims they will not be forgotten in Washington. Local officials praised the federal response, but Republican Congressman Dana Rohrabacher says there was a bureaucratic blunder early on.
It appears that the authorities in Washington at the U.S. Forest Service dragged their feet to the point that aviation assets that we could have had available to us during this incredible fire in California have not been available.
Two big cargo planes and nearly two dozen helicopters sat idle, but Governor Schwarzenegger says it didn't matter because when the wind was strong, firefighting aircraft were useless. Deja vu on Capitol Hill today as the House once again debated the Children's Health Insurance Plan.
Stand with the 10 million American children who receive the health coverage they need and deserve under this legislation.
That's Democrat Steny Hoyer urging passage of a modified version of the bill President Bush vetoed. Texas Republican Sam Johnson would not be sold.
And the real fact
is this. Compromise bill is nothing less than a bunch of baloney.
The measure passed 265 to 142, not enough of a margin to override a veto, but it puts Mr. Bush in the position of rejecting another health plan for kids. The Army has been trying to reduce civilian casualties at checkpoints in Iraq, and CBS News correspondent David Martin reports it's come up with a non-lethal device.
A machine that